you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Luke, excuse me. Scoozoo.
Oh, hell yes.
Here it is.
We've got a caller all the way from Palo Alto who wants to join in. Are you still there, caller, Mr. Harmy?
Harmy, yes.
Yes, sir. How can you add to solving of the world's problems today? What do you want to say?
Yes, I'm here. I'm holding to...
No, don't hold anymore. You're live all over the world right now.
Oh, I am?
Yes, sir, you are. So talk to us. What is your question?
Excellent. Yeah, I was calling because as Councilwoman John Normand stated... that if you were to, in fact, invest in the farfalotas of the Poho Amjad and Mike Show, that you could probably
We are obviously on the right track because the devil has sent his child
Absolutely.
To come
Absolutely.
And try to shake us up.
Devil's child.
Oops, hold on a second.
This machine just,
it's Monday.
Just regurgitated. My one, two, three, four. Give me a moment, Mike.
Track.
Please stand by.
One. Track 20 rocks, Rob.
Do it, man!
One, two, three, four.
The Don and Mike Show.
You have a delay there.
Yeah.
Try that machine one more time.
Yes. Now that it's all warmed up.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, that's better.
That's tighter than a nun.
Uh-oh! Uh-oh! Jungle!
Aren't you just the cat's pajama?
Dumbass. Just a bunch of white trash.
Hi, everybody.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hi, everybody.
You boys make me sick.
Welcome back to the show.
We, the Rutgers University, scored on my basketball team. Except Mr. Amish's apologies. And we are in the process of forgiving
him. I'm still in the machine.
We, the Rutgers University, scored on my basketball
he's
team.
He's gone.
Except Mr. Amish's apologies.
He's been replaced by the coach.
Amish's spot in the machine has been taken by the lady coach.
No.
How soon they forget. Aren't you sorry about that, Imus?
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that.
I did a bad thing.
I did a bad thing.
Seems like it was only yesterday.
When the car stopped, I was sad that I'd wrecked. I was embarrassed that I'd wrecked. I was thankful that I wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
I hope this is a lesson to the children and grown-ups alike at home. That you have to be game on when you're driving a vehicle.
These bits are just all out of order, so let me just say.
What not?
Right.
What not?
What right.
What not?
Right.
What not?
He's a jackass.
Here is Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Welcome. I'm on, Bobby. What's happening, little brains?
Little brains.
We're little brains just like you, Don and Mike Show. New episode, everybody, on a Monday. On a good-looking Monday. How's it hanging?
How is it hanging? I ask myself that every day.
Well, here we go. Let's start the show.
Yes.
We're not going to continue our walk down the road of race in America.
No.
For a couple of days. We do have an urban disc jockey that we're talking to now.
Good.
About doing a simulcast with. And listen, let's face it, as we predicted last week, when the next big story happens, everyone will collectively forget about race. And sadly today the story is this Virginia Tech thing.
Right. This is truly... absolutely mind-boggling what's happening in the state of Virginia today. It's amazing.
I guarantee if Imus had said what he said this week,
yeah,
wouldn't even rate
Well, it kind of makes you realize...
In the radio gossip pages.
How significant that is on the big scheme of it.
Right.
I'm still... everybody's kind of reeling around the radio station about what happened today. I mean, this is a brand new story. I mean, it's been going on all day, but it's been developing all day, too. And it's just... it really boggles the mind that this is one individual that has done this today. So it's shocking. It really is.
One of the campus of Virginia Tech, at least 30 people dead, right, Buzz?
32 dead, 25 injured. Those are minimum figures, and the 32 dead includes the gunman.
So, and still, as Don and I were discussing before the show, we're talking about one gunman who took his own life right now. That's what they're saying.
They don't know yet, right? The police still are investigating to see if they killed him or if he killed himself. With so many bullets flying, it's hard to tell.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I was just sitting there going, how could this going to happen last week?
Right.
Wow. Jesus Christ, what an upside-down world we live in.
If it had to happen.
What were we talking, even though
we were having a race discussion last week, we were talking about how angry everybody seemed to be. And, obviously some more angry than others. I mean, this is just...
no connection.
Wow.
No, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, of course that. No, course.
But what's going to happen is that rather than the discussion now, maybe even in a small way, if this thing at VT hadn't happened, maybe the discussion going to race and going to hip-hop, And what we can do about that. Now, with the piranha-like media that we have, now it's going to be violence in the school. Who got the gun to the kid? How come the kids in the school weren't told after he shot the first time around?
If it is a kid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even know if it's a student yet. So that's true. Don't know a lot yet.
Do they know what kind of weapon he used?
The only thing I keep getting back to, I don't care how long the timeline was, one guy doing this much damage is, it would speak to either having a lot of firepower or also, planning this thing. What I keep hearing on the different reports is that he knew the campus very well. He had to know, in order to do this, he had to know where he was going.
He had to have. That engineering building was pretty much out of the way, off the beaten path, so he had to have actually sought it out to find that building.
Not to belittle the Rutgers women basketball team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Female basketball team, but I would say the students today at Virginia Tech had something happen to them that really will affect them.
Yeah.
The rest of their lives.
I heard I heard reports with one graduate student who was close to what happened today.
And a lot of them talking about the fact that he's not going to go.
That he was going to talk about not going back because he's messed up by this. I mean, a lot of people will. I mean, I think we saw with Columbine what this does to human beings. I hate to talk in records or numbers or anything like that, but this is this just absolutely eliminates Columbine from the map as far as the worst tragedies of all time on
a
campus.
Worst year,
right?
Second worst in the world.
Wow.
Better than the massacre of 66.
What was the massacre of 66?
I don't even know, but that's what they were talking about today. The biggest school shooting of all time.
When they say
in the U.S. was in 1966.
And pardon these stupid questions, but when they say school shooting, they're talking about any campus,
elementary,
right? They're talking
through
elementary
college.
Through college.
Right. Exactly.
And wow. I mean, just on a serious note, of course, everybody here, there are a lot of people that listen to this show that have family down at Tech, and really our hearts and really our thoughts go out to all of them. Because really, I see these people all the time out there in where I live. So
I've got three cousins that go to
you. You got three cousins that go there? Yeah, so this is pretty close to home for us here on the show today. So it's very.
And what Rob didn't
mention
is that the three cousins, two of them are married.
To each other.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Yeah. And the third, like
in royalty, the way they used to do royalty.
And the third cousin is the child of those two cousins.
It's a beautiful thing. But what troubles me about this is now we're not hearing about the 20-year storm.
Is this a 20-year storm?
Yes.
You didn't hear that over the weekend.
I didn't hear that.
This is the 20-year storm.
I spent a lot of time sleeping over the weekend.
You see how the trees are moving out there?
Yeah.
That's the 20-year storm.
The 20-year storm.
They won't move again like that for another 20 years.
I'm incredibly calm. For coming to you today and telling you that I have not had electrical power since 1:05 a.m.
Pretty composed.
Hey.
You're doing well.
What that means is the entire morning, Regis and Kelly time.
Yes. How did you, you look groomed.
Yeah, did you bathe?
Did you bathe today or is that grease hair?
Did not. No. Lucked out, took a shower late last night.
Quarter to one?
Late last.
It's almost as if you knew.
No, actually came out of the worst part of this illness thing that I had had last night, and about 10 o'clock just started sweating like Marion Barry, like there was no tomorrow.
You looked rather fresh.
Thanks.
You truly do.
I'm a clean guy.
Fresh and excited.
And you are calm and collected.
I'm clean. I didn't even sweat today. I am such a slave to electricity. Without my treadmill, I said, what's the point?
Couldn't break a sweat.
What's the point? Go,
exactly.
Go outside and run?
Oh.
Please don't get out of here.
I didn't know they called this a 20-year storm.
It's the 20-year storm.
The 20-year storm?
Sure.
Oh, how about that?
Look at it.
If that's the case, I was thinking 20 years for the next one.
No, it's going to be great.
Because the only thing bad about this, at least for us here in D.C., is that it rained and it's windy. And a lot of people like myself don't have power right now.
I had to fasten down my grill cover. You don't do that every day.
I have a personal message that I'd like to send out to my friend, Mr. Sweeney. Sweeney, fly like the wind to my home with hammer and nail. Nail my roof back on, Sweeney.
I got a report that his roof is blown off.
Oh, no. Blowing off. I don't believe it's blown off. I think I've been informed that that it's flapping in the breeze.
The roof. So
they're going out to fix it as
the
we
roof.
Speak. But, you know, I always
the
think...
The roof is on fire.
I always think of roofs in that way that, you know, once one section goes, isn't that the way they do it?
Yeah.
I got a tin roof rusted, so it's...
it is a tin roof.
It's a metal roof.
Don't put it down. It'll be great, because it's a... It's
fine. What do you know? You're not a roofer.
He doesn't know anything.
You don't know anything. You
I'm
just
trying
act
to
like
calm you.
Why are you at the microphone this early on a Monday? Why are you living there already?
I'm
is this where you plan to camp out? Why?
Step back.
All right.
I'll explain.
What is he doing? What's he up to?
He has been without his best friend.
You?
No, please. Mike, who's his best friend?
Oh, the green
hatred. No, more than certainly more than me.
Uh-huh.
More than his best friend Brad.
His piece of the Hindenburg.
But more than that,
television.
Bingo. Rob moved over the weekend, and DirecTV missed their appointment.
Is that why he's all wound up today?
Yeah. I got a call from him this morning, real early.
Yeah.
I mean, even by my standards, it was early, and he was just sitting in a room having a cup of coffee. Just going,
I got no TV.
I couldn't watch The Sopranos. You know, in the entire time 24 has been on the air, I have seen every single episode at the time it's been on. I may not be able to see it tonight. Don't tell me you don't have power. I didn't have TV all day yesterday. I don't have TV today. I called DirecTV. I told them my mother-in-law is ill, and still all they offered me was free Stars. Do you hear what I'm saying to me? Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
Well,
here he
is nice.
Here he is now.
I wanted to grab you by the lapels and shake you and say, don't you understand?
So it must have killed you when I just mentioned The Sopranos right before we went on the air.
Yeah, it felt great.
That was good.
I bet it
just
was.
So you know.
At least I remember to watch the premiere, Buzz.
I already told him that Fat Ginny's husband does.
Yeah.
I already ruined it.
Johnny Sack?
Yeah, I already ruined it.
Biting a big one?
I already ruined it. I already told
him. You didn't even say spoiler warning ahead.
They killed Johnny Sack in a slow... You know, way. Normally when you get the big casino, it takes a long time. And they did it in short order. They did it in one episode.
He got it,
got diagnosed, and all of a sudden he's got the oxygen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He smokes a lot in the pen.
Well, he wasn't smoking, and then he started again once he knew it was time to go. And great performance.
Sydney Pollack.
Uh-huh.
I called that right away as soon as I saw him. I said, oh, my God, good one. This is really going to be a good Sopranos.
I stopped down and said to Carla, that's a fine director that's sweeping that floor right there. That's Sydney Pollack. And then I said, well, what did he... And then for her first question, of course, is what did he direct? And the only thing I could come up with was Tootsie.
Well,
can you come up with another one? I mean, isn't he a well-regarded director? That's his primary contribution to... He acts in a lot of his movies.
He was in that Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, he did that one. No, that was a Kubrick film.
What was that one with Travolta I liked so bad? A Civil Action, although I think he was just an actor in that one, too.
Right.
He just played a smarmy lawyer in that.
Look at him just...
I hate when you go to the book, though.
He did The Electric Horseman, Absence of Malice, Tootsie, Out of Africa, Havana, The Firm, the remake of Sabrina, Random Hearts, and The Interpreter.
Okay, so maybe...
So he's not that great a movie maker.
He's not that great a director. Okay.
Like, he's a better actor than he is a movie maker.
Well, he likes acting better, I think.
Oh, and The Way We Were.
Oh,
Yeah.
Oh, oh well, that, now. That. Finally, something that you get, a classic.
Memories. Can I just say, Rob, you know what that is when you do that?
Excuse me.
It's very Ken Beatrice-ish.
Yeah, but you know what?
And I want you to keep the Ken Beatrice Oz image alive. There's a guy who used to work at Old Time Radio that Mike and I know.
Uh-huh.
This guy, Ken Beatrice.
Yes.
You're next.
Yeah. Sports guys. One of the original sports talk guys. This is
right.
This guy did sports talk before sports talk was a big deal.
This guy got fired because he said something about a Chinese athlete and it was awful and it was like Jimmy the Greek and he got what happened to him?
He got fired.
Yeah.
He just got fired because they didn't want him around.
They let him go.
He didn't say anything about anybody's race or anything.
No.
He just got fired. Anyway, the guy's whole rap was that if you would call him up and ask him a question, he had like this Rain Man type thing going where he just had these facts, these incredible facts in his head that he could just spew off. And
he used to like to talk to little kids, too, which I always thought was absolutely charming. When you got a five-year-old going,
will the Redskins win the Super Bowl this year? Well, I'll be honest with you, Kenny. I think they've got a fine offense and defense. However, they've got to make some strides in their special teams in order to really get all the way. That's where I think they're lacking. Now, if they could get a good quarterback, and I know they're in the market for one. Thanks for calling, Kenny. Bye now.
Eat a booger, Mr. Beatrice.
Eat your booger, Kenny. Thanks so much for calling. Now, remember, when you're eating your boogers, make sure your mom and dad don't see you.
But the whole thing on this guy was, whether you thought he was talented or not, he truly did have all of this information, all of this useless sports trivia in his noggin.
So it seemed.
And Rob, it is somewhat discerning after all of these years to see you not even attempt, to see you just immediately go for your magic book of trivia.
I had nothing. I don't have a good background on
Now, wait a minute. Were you giving Ken Beatrice props there saying that he had it in his I think that the rap on Ken was that he had the like encyclopedias there in the studio with him.
The rap on
Didn't he get busted for that one time?
No, the rap on Ken Beatrice was that he would always say that I've done scouting work with the New England Patriots.
Right.
I've done scouting work with the New York Jets, and they found out they called him up and they said, no, the guy, like, we thought he was a flasher showing up in his trench coat.
In the old days, it was really kind of a signature of talk radio. The guys like Larry King would say, you know, I played ball with Sandy Koufax. They would say stuff, and Bill O'Reilly continues the tradition today.
And
you can say something that nobody's going to call you on, and nobody wants to take the time to do the research.
And I remember there was a big expose in the Washington Post, and if I'm not incorrect here, gosh, I hope memory serves me correctly, it was the Patriots, that this whole thing...
Yeah, definitely a New England
thing. That he said, you know, well, I'll tell you why I know so much about football. I spent time with the New England Patriots, the Boston Patriots,
right.
Game planning, working, you know, and then I think it came out that they never heard of him.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They never heard of him.
And who?
But he did have this, because I saw him do it, where you would ask him a question, and he could just spout off incredible facts. You know,
you sure?
Unlike you, Rob.
I was with you when we saw him do it. Remember we went to his broadcast?
Yes, I do.
At Pettibones?
Oh, yeah. He was nervous.
Pettibones.
Maybe I should get a raincoat.
Which I believe is now Famous Dave's Ribs.
I like Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave's is great. They have I think they still have Tuesday night all you can eat ribs.
I remember the last time I called them, Ken Beatrice.
Uh-huh.
We were going to the premiere of Rocky IV. That's how long ago it was.
Uh-huh.
And it was right when cell phones first came out because we were on the way from Weyva to a theater in Georgetown. So that's about like a 25-minute drive. And it was 7 p.m. when his show came on, and his whole big thing was, phone number 432-WNAL, for those who are visually impaired, 432-9625. And I remember, swear to God, being in the car with other people from the radio station, calling him up and saying, Ken, I'm so glad that you give out the phone number, because I am blind.
Oh, my God. That's right. I remember that one.
And there really wasn't a great punchline to that. I just said something like, well, and I want you to know I enjoy listening to you talk about the Redskins because I am blind and I am glad you give out the phone number the way that you give it out. it was by today's standards, it was nothing.
Yet. No.
But, I mean, we hung up the phone, and it was like we had just prank-called the Pope.
It is pretty funny. Now, I limit myself to one milkshake a month, and I don't enjoy the curly fries. He used to say that a lot. Well, that's after he had the big ticker attack, right?
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Glad to hear you're feeling better, Don.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I wanted to bust Robbie's balls because Sidney Pollack played Will's dad on Will and Grace.
Played Will's dad?
Yeah.
Rob,
so you watch Will and Grace and you're busting my balls.
He's a fag.
Let me offer you a piece of advice. Are you listening?
Please do, Rob.
Lick it.
Well, I'd expect that.
Lick it.
We are wound up. Wow. Look at you spring to that attention like that.
And oh my God, let's talk about the weekend because what a weekend I had. Not a good weekend, but things ended up working out great. I've been feeling ill last week, most of the week.
Right.
Friday, some of it came trickling out over the air. I know what it was. We were waiting for that chick from 24.
Right.
Who will probably disappoint us today as well.
Karen Hayes.
Yeah, I think she's shooting a scene. If not tomorrow, Yanni?
We're trying for tomorrow, too. Maybe she'll disappoint us then, too.
Today, tomorrow, who knows when. Christmas time, I'm getting him some 3-in-1 oil.
Yeah, some oil for that mic boom. So, anyway, I was mentioning that I had this thing. My girlfriend's, her dad's 80th birthday.
Yes.
Was Saturday. The birthday party was this past Saturday in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And we were going to drive, actually past Pittsburgh, a five-hour drive total, one way. Drive there, meet her entire family, all of them, and like 50 or 60 of them at once.
Wow.
And then get in the car and drive back home. I was apprehensive about this because I'm nervous, you know, I've only done this before in my life, really, one time with Frida. You know, Dawn doesn't count. You know, when you're married to a girl when you're just getting out of high school, and then you're divorced, you know, for goodness sakes, 3 months later.
That doesn't count.
You know, that's, you know, what do they call that in golf, Mike? That's a mulligan.
It's a mulligan. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there was a kid. So there was
you take a breakfast bowl on that one.
There was a mulligan with a child, my beautiful daughter Amy.
Mulligan really has been I guess classically, but now we do call them breakfast balls. You know, you walk up there and you hit your first shot of the day, the first shot of the morning, beautiful morning, and you have one in your pocket. You know, because if you hit that first one bad, you know, you just start. It's a do-over.
Yeah. Okay.
Dawn Mulligan.
So that's exactly what Dawn was. Dawn Mulligan.
I kind of thought you'd make the trip. I thought you,
well, no, let me explain to you what happened.
Okay.
So, you know, Dawn doesn't count. And then you have, Frida. Everyone knows about my wonderful life with sweet Frida.
Right.
And now it's Jan. And as it turns out, I had been sick all last week and it finally started to affect her a little bit on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my throat doesn't feel too great. Then on Friday, she said, you know, I'm really not feeling good. Maybe we shouldn't go to Pittsburgh. And I didn't want to oversell this. I said, whatever you think, sweetie, whatever you want to do.
Answer.
And then on Friday, we're talking about it on the air with Mike. Mm-hmm. Janet called up. I didn't want to talk to her on the air. She is just the sweetest girl. She called up and she said, hey, you know what? You don't have to go. If you don't feel good, don't go.
Yeah, that was all resolved here on the air and it was etched in stone.
And I was expecting to get home and have the other shoe drop, you know, and have to be like, okay. You know, as everybody in the world has experienced at some point, I was experiencing a nice ride on the guilt train when I got home. I was not expecting her to back out of what she said. I was simply expecting her to amplify a bit more about what a dick I was because I wasn't going to be going. Because, yes, I didn't feel good. I really didn't feel good, I swear to God.
Right.
But also, I swear to God, I really didn't want to go to this thing, but it was one of those things.
Exactly.
There was no way to get out of.
Both are true.
So she says when I get home on Friday night, she says, I feel my head. And now I got to be careful with this because I know she wants me to feel her fever.
Right.
Now, at this point, I think she still is going to go to Pittsburgh and leave me at home for the weekend.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I put my head on her forehead and really, no lie, she's burning up.
Wow.
But what I have to do is lowball it because I don't want to appear to be too like, oh my God, you're sick. You can't go to Pittsburgh.
Right. Like, you're trying to make sure she stays with you.
Right. So I go, you know what? And I do that thing. I put my hand on her head, then on my head, then on her head. You do feel kind of warm. She said, yeah, I just took my temperature. She's a little high. I said, what is it? 101.9.
Oh,
I said, oh, that's sick. She said, yeah. You know, with all those elderly people and all the young kids with the grandkids and stuff, we can't go up there.
Well, with the elderly people, that's a really
even though I know it works out for the best for you, that's really legitimate, 100% good idea not to be around.
Sure. I know it is.
And I know. I mean, I know you'd like it to. You probably, in your own mind, would like it to be some sort of thing where it was created or manipulated to be this way. Because you feel more satisfied that way.
Here's what sucks, Mike, is that I really was feeling better on Friday than I had felt all week long. Got home Friday night, had this talk with Jan. She is really sick. She's feeling better today. She was really sick over the weekend. I woke up on Saturday morning, and I mean, you want to talk? Now, here was the progression. The eyes awaken, and right away I think, oh, no long road trip. First thing I think.
Yeah.
And best of all, no guilt. Right?
I thought you were going to say you woke up and you were really feeling better, too.
Well, no, I was feeling pretty good on Friday night when I went to bed. So as I woke up on Saturday morning, it was like, oh, that's really the first thing I thought. Oh, no road trip. I look over and I see there she is. And she looks like she's got a cold.
Right.
You know, when you look at someone sleep and they,
right.
you know,
you
they,
can
just, they look ill.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think, oh, and I rub her shoulder a little bit. And I think, oh, this is going to be a daddy weekend. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I get up and I take about one step and I go, hey, what's...
Yeah! Oh.
And...
So you still had it.
And I stood up...
What the hell do you have?
I really don't know, Mike, but whatever it is was all over our bedspread.
Oh. Just didn't see it coming.
No, I mean, I stood up, I swear to Christ, I stood up and I thought, this is great. I really feel great. As it turns out, she's sick and we're not going. And as I went... Like that, just a stretch. It was almost it's involuntary. It was like, yeah.
Wow.
So he said, "Oh my god." So then,
wow.
How did the distance on this compare to previous bodily fluid projections?
Oh, listen. What comes out of my throat has got nothing on what comes out of my gems.
No comparison.
Jeez. So anyway, I clean up the mess and.
That's horrible.
Then we finally decide that, I'm sicker than she is.
Really?
Yeah, I've retaken the lead. Spent most of the day.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to wake up Saturday all refreshed,
better,
feeling
no, and
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, which I never really understood what that meant.
So I go back upstairs and say, you know, I got to go back to bed. I feel like crap. And I go back upstairs, and I'm upstairs about 20 minutes, and I really got the
chills.
But hold on a second, because I'm thinking, what the hell's going on with me? I look at the thermostat. I see the thermostat, 62.
Uh-oh.
I say, what the frick is going on here?
That's rather bracing.
I go downstairs. Thermostat downstairs says 0.0. I mean, it says nothing.
Yeah. Ooh.
Turns out, furnace is broken.
Oh.
Great timing. So, I'm sick, she's sick.
Normally in April around here, that wouldn't matter.
Furnace guy comes out.
Normally.
We're waiting for him to come out. We're both sitting there with our... I got that Sopranos robe on, the one that HBO gave us.
Yeah, the Tony Soprano robe.
Yep, and she
featured very prominently in last night's episode.
She has a similar-looking Victoria's Secret robe on, but they're both big, white, fluffy...
Hers is crotchless, right?
Like,
See, it makes no sense that a robe would be crotchless. It just sounded funny.
You know what do you remember when you and I went to... Nashville to film a TV commercial.
Film house.
And
we used to call it food house because they gave us so much food there.
And you and I went back to the hotel suite that they had gotten us.
Right.
And we ordered about every piece of food on the menu and a bunch of booze.
Yeah.
And
chicken tenders and steak.
And at that time, I remember thinking, we must really be buddies, either that or we must really be gay,
yeah,
because we were both wearing just our underpants and T-shirts
right,
and the hotel robes, which were not big enough for either one of us.
So we wore them like Tony Soprano wears them. And incidentally, now listen, now really, we were large, but we weren't large. And this is a knock on the robe manufacturers.
Hey, listen, this is back when Mike and I were skinny.
Yeah.
Compared to now.
Right.
We were skinny
but
back
robes
then.
Robes don't come in like an XL. Well, they don't sell. I wear an XL T-shirt.
One size.
That's BS.
All I remember is there was a time, I know that you and I were really partying that night. We had a lot of fun. And we were...
Some big game was on, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was. We were watching a football game.
Right.
And you and I came around the corner, and we both had these robes on, and we insisted on tying the belt around the robe.
Trying to.
And the belt, what happened was, the belt itself came up like to our boob line.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which it always does.
And the robe was open,
yeah,
except for this, and we both had incredible smears on the robe.
Well, we were using the robe as a napkin, and we were
wiping our hands
from the
chicken tenders and the steak.
We were doing so knowing we weren't going to keep the robes,
right,
that the robes would actually be a napkin for us, and it was big fun. It was really, like a couple of idiots, like a couple of monkeys were in there realizing that the robes come with the room. You know, we didn't realize that you had to pay for them,
yeah,
you know, so that was another thing, like, down the road, we got that bill.
Yeah.
You know, that was another, deal with it. They caught us through the expense accounts.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, well, anyway, so both Janet and I are wearing our robes like that,
right,
which now, fortunately, you know, we can tie,
right,
so we're not exposing ourselves. The guy comes over, he says, okay, here's the problem, you got a gigantic water spill in the basement, that's why the emergency water trip thing went on, that's why the furnace shut off. I'm going to fix this. I'll be gone in an hour and a half. So we're waiting. He leaves. As soon as he leaves, we both go, oh.
Yeah.
We just sink into the couch. It's maybe an hour later. Janet says, are you cold?
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, God, we are so sick. We are so sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2 hours later. I go past the thermostat. And I'm like, 58.
That's not right.
What the frig's going on? We call him back up. They say, okay, we'll send out another guy. Now, the second guy that they sent out, unfortunately, didn't speak as much English as the first guy.
Was the first guy, was that his first language?
I believe so.
And okay.
The second guy, I think, English may have been in the top five.
So they sent out another guy.
Could have been in his top five. It's my five.
Well, what'd the first guy do?
What the first guy did was found a filter that had been jammed up with gook, filled up with Asians. Excuse me, Rob. And like I said, it was filled up with gook.
Right.
And stuff that was stopping the water.
Right.
And it was starting to drip out there and go through the floorboard. So he fixed that.
Right.
The problem is that he didn't sop up all of the excess water that had leaked out, and he put a brand new water sensor underneath the furnace.
Mm.
He left, and he left it sitting on a washcloth that was soaking wet.
Okay.
So in essence, it was just when the second guy came over, from what I understand, it was like 2 hours until the sensor would go off again
and shut your furnace
and shut down the entire furnace system again. So now the second time, I figured this out. When I called him up, the guy comes over. The language barrier is what's killing us, because what I'm saying to him is, in case this happens again, how do I turn it back on without calling you?
Good question.
And all he could manage to do was give me his business card,
uh-huh,
and his cell phone.
Yeah, you call.
And
yeah, you call, uh-huh.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah, okay.
So,
okay, you call.
We get done with him. That was twice on Saturday. And at this point, both Janet and I are still, we got it coming out both ends.
Yeah.
And we're both still feeling really crappy. And it starts raining. And Sunday morning, we wake up, and she says...
Sunday morning, uh-huh.
She says... She wakes me up. Goes, good morning. I said, good morning. She said, I hope you're feeling better. I said, I think I might be feeling better. She said, good. There's about 8 leaks in the roof.
Oh, wow.
I said, you are kidding me. And I go downstairs, and she's got all over the house pots and pans.
Oh, so no. It's like coming through your driveway.
And like big gulp.
Oh, Jesus.
Big gulp glasses.
But you got your roof fixed.
So did I, Mike.
So did I.
Hey,
what's the deal with roofers? I shouldn't say that right now. No, I didn't mean that. I take it back.
Roofers
are fantastic.
They are great.
So I love roofers.
So then the so now we're walking around looking at I like roofies.
I do too.
I like roofies.
But only on a weekend night.
I like a roofie any night of the week.
I know you do. Well, you tolerate them better than I do. You know what happens when I have them, you know. Yeah. You give them to me and I wake up with the cranberry juice.
You get all touchy and everything.
Every single time.
And I don't mean like you get upset. I mean you get like Roman right. fingers touchy.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I touch and like to be touched on roofies.
You know, hold on a second. That just reminded me of one of the Cialis commercials I saw yesterday.
Oh, yes.
That's an ED pill, right?
Right, it is.
Okay. I'd like to know the type of pussy, and by that I mean man, that takes this pill. Because here's the commercial I saw yesterday for Cialis.
Okay.
The guy takes the pill.
Yeah.
Then he wants to make the he wants to put the moves on his girlfriend, right?
Yeah, something comes up.
Or his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And like someone knocks at the door.
Right.
And the guy goes, oh, like that's it. Like that's the only chance he's ever going to have sex because he's not taking the pill that gives right. him a 36-hour bonus.
Well, see, that's, they talk about that's the, is it that the Cialis where they say,
that's right.
You know, you can do it whenever you want.
Call it the weekend.
As opposed to Viagra, where your Viagra is take it and it can only last for a little while.
2 to 4 hours.
Please. I mean, listen, I know there are guys out there who have to use those pills.
Yeah, real problem.
And you know, hopefully I won't ever be one of you pussies.
Amen.
But I would like to think that, my gosh, I can get it worked up.
I had a buddy of mine.
You're in good health. You're okay.
You know, and it's almost a piggyback on what Buzz has said, that this buddy of mine said, you know, you have to try this. I said, I don't need it.
Well,
he said,
no,
you have to try this because it is, he says, just, the best you will ever have.
It emasculates the man this commercial does because what it, in essence what
I mean,
it
it's
says,
not like the one where they're throwing the football through the inner tube.
No, this really does because the guy, it's like the girl says to the guy, you know, in essence, honey, I'm ready to give it up. And he goes, oh my God, thanks. Where's my pill?
Right.
And as soon as he eats the pill, right, sting dog, and he's like, oh my God, now I can't have sex because the doorbell rang and someone's at the door and they go, wouldn't you love to be able to have sex for 36 hours? And really, I'm looking at this and I'm going, who are these men?
they're
let me talk to these men.
They're not well.
Well, the thing, you know.
I know, Buzz.
Every time I see that and if there are kids in the room, you know, it just, that's, is that my phone? I'm
but,
sorry.
But can we, maybe it's about your roof. Take it, Mike. Yeah. Go ahead and take it.
All right, hold on a second.
Can we not make these commercials in some way in which the man doesn't appear to be such a gigantic pussy?
I don't see how.
And how come it has to
be? Hey, Kevin, what's happening?
And how come it has to be, it's when she's ready to screw?
Hey, Kev, can I tell you something right now?
When she's ready.
I know this is serious business, and I did want to mention that as I'm talking to you, I'm on the radio right now. So, you know, that's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. Tell me, it's the right panel, all right? Right.
Is your roof guy?
Yeah.
Oh, not the right panel.
We're all eavesdropping on Mike's private
right.
conversation.
Trying to. All right, I'll call you. I hope you can get it fixed. You'll get it at least temporarily fixed, right?
Get some tarp.
All right, you got your other guy? Okay, thanks, Kevin. All right, bye-bye. Jesus, he was dying.
What did he say about your roof?
He was like... Get up here.
Did you say tear the roof off?
Hey, Mike. Hey, this is Mike. Up here, it's right front panel. I said, well, you get it done, and I'll get an update from you. I really didn't get that much information.
Like Jack Bauer.
I was kind of thinking about what you guys were saying. Yeah.
Tear the roof off the sucker.
No, the roof off the house. I've blown the roof off of that house many times.
Anyway, it sure does make the man look like a pussy.
I understand.
And I was like, he's sitting there, and then she goes, oh, hey, guess what, caveman? I'll give it up for you now. It's like, oh, my God, you have sex with me? Wait, where's my pill?
This guy working on my roof right now, he wouldn't need that pill.
How do you know?
Huh?
How do you
Sweeney know? Wouldn't need the pill.
You know this about Sweeney.
Sweeney's a tough guy.
He can put in a whole roof and buy a hammer.
The dude is a Civil War reenactor, okay?
Oh, well, there you go.
All right, do I need I say any tougher than that?
I think that covers it.
Oh, yeah. Is he in uniform today?
Yeah, I think so.
The Confederate on your roof.
He's got the hat on.
I have always wondered specifically when I go down south to visit my son down at Clemson.
Yes, right.
I see the Civil War reenactments happening up here in the all Virginia the area.
He doesn't fit the stereotype.
Oh, no, I'm not commenting about, who doesn't, your friend?
The roof guy.
Oh, no, this is just about...
Roof guy's kind of thin, very, very thin, wiry thin.
I've been down south, you know, down by Atlanta.
Yeah.
With my son, where you see the big sign saying, you know, Civil War reenactments. And I'm wondering, you know, from that standpoint, they lost. Why would you want to reenact that?
Well, but it's not just the Confederates that reenact. They both sides reenact.
Both sides do.
Yeah, I know, but
they reenact the battles.
Yeah, I know, but if you're in the South.
Yeah.
If you're in the South.
But even in the South, I mean, I think where I am is kind of considered the South.
No, okay, well,
both sides.
Okay, but see, Virginia's close to the Mason-Dixon line. I'm talking about more deep South. I'm talking about, you know, South Carolina.
In those states, they reenact it, but they don't reenact it accurately. When they reenact it,
the
Confederacy wins.
They win.
Uh-huh. The way it normally goes.
I just always thought it's funny when I'm down south, really down south, to see that, like, well, hold on, you're recreating a war that you lost.
Yeah, that does seem a little silly. Because they, you know what I understand from a lot of them? They've let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, oh yeah. Who? A lot of who? A lot of those people?
The reenactors.
Forgive and forget.
I think that, you can even see them like having a muffin together after it's all over.
Yeah.
You know, both sides. And it's, of course they do it around like where the staged battle wasn't. They'll go around the back of the school or whatever and, you know, enjoy a muffin, a nice blueberry muffin together.
Okay, well let's break.
All right.
Because there's just a little more weekend stuff.
Okay.
To get to.
All right.
Besides, you know, and then the power. I'm sorry, I'm a slave to power.
Yeah.
You know, no TV, no internet. In my case, no water because that's how everything goes out there.
Yeah, but you live like where the Lewis and Clark expedition passed through,
nothing.
So that's the problem.
Got no nothing going on. Had to break the news. I'll tell you about this when we come back. Had to break the news to Big Frieda about Don Ho.
Oh my!
Yeah.
How'd she take that?
Tiny bubble.
Not good. Yeah. And
she a big fan?
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh my God! A Big Frieda is the world's biggest Don Ho fan.
Oh, that's too bad.
You know how sick I am of the Don Ho Christmas album?
Really?
Every year, starting on Thanksgiving Day, from Thanksgiving Day until Christmas Day, she plays it nonstop.
Oh, really?
Ask Rob. What's the greatest gift she ever got? And her entire life, Rob.
I got a written thank you note. I didn't even give her the gift. Don brought me the LP, and I burned it to a CD for her.
Oh, the Don Ho album.
And she was out of her mind. She was so excited. And you know what? I like Christmas music. It isn't all that. It's not that
good. Hey, don't speak ill of the dead.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
And did he have nappy hair? Because I did just say ho.
Oh, but used as a proper name.
Don Ho.
You're in the clear.
I think you're all right.
He was cool. He was cool before cool was cool.
All right, so we got some weekend stuff to get to. Oh, and we've not even talked about the Sopranos. Yeah. I got to tell you about the mice in my house. And when we come back, we're going to play a fantastic game involving Imus and Robert the Mailman.
Oh, my God, that's dangerous.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I know what this is. It's time for the Katie Couric message of the day.
Katie Couric's notebook.
Hi, everyone. Scientists may have uncovered a clue to what makes us retarded, and it's just plain disgusting. Researchers from the Betty Crocker Institute at USC, yes, there really is such a place. Am I crazy? Say they have located a part of the mind that actually controls the Ku Klux Klan. In the journal Nature, they report that people who have damage to the front of their brain were more likely to harm someone, like ducks, when given a life or death decision. Am I crazy? Those with that part of the brain intact were less likely to hurt others. That's so gay. One of the authors concluded part of our moral behavior is grounded into a specific retarded part of our brains. In other words, most of us are wired to do the right thing, to be retarded, to be gay, to empathize. Am I crazy? In the arguments over nature versus nurture, it's part of our nature to nurture those girls of Laguna Beach. If you find that both amazing and uplifting, well, that's so gay. That's a page from my notebook. I'm Katie Couric. Yes, me.
Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
So gay.
Enthusiastic and reverent. Don and Mike.
playing this because Robert the Mailman is in Thailand right now. He's in Bangkok.
Wow.
Call him in a moment to play the I Miss game with him.
He travels a lot. He's an international traveler.
He does. I know a lot of you have been... thank you for lighting the candles and filling out the prayer requests. I just talked to my girlfriend, yeah. And the power is back on in the house.
Yes. Sure about that?
Yeah. It was a brief lapse in communications.
Oh.
I called. I said, how's everything going? She said, current temperature in the house is 61.
Okay.
I said, ooh.
Ooh.
What's the deal? She said, I'm looking at the thermostat.
Uh-huh.
It says 61.
Yeah.
Now, the thermostat that she was looking at is an LED readout. It only works if the power is turned on.
It's wired into your electricity.
Yes, it's got the digital thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
does it have a battery pack?
It does not. So when the power goes off, it goes off. Right. So I'm saying to her, is the power on? And she keeps saying to me, I'm looking at the thermostat and it says 61. What she was trying to say to me is, hey, dumbass, because I'm looking at the thermostat and it says 61,
right?
Obviously the power is on.
Oh, that's what she meant?
Yes, and the thermostat that she was looking, see, there's one in the main area of the house that's the newer one, the digital one.
Right.
The old-fashioned one that's upstairs.
The dial?
Not a dial. It's got the thing that you...
Little metal band.
Yeah, it's like a thermometer on top.
Right.
And it's got the little thing that you pull back and forth.
I've seen those.
When you move past 60 or 70,
right.
That's when you hear the heat or the AC click on. So I was totally not following the fact. And so what I said was, I said, Jim, is the power on? She said, yes. I said,
yes.
I said, why didn't you tell me the power is on?
Of course it is, Mr. Carmichael.
I said, I told you.
Mrs. Carmichael.
I'm looking at 61 right now.
It's Mr. Mooney.
So things are okay at home. I'm glad to hear that. She's feeling better. She really is the greatest. She wasn't feeling well over the weekend, and as much as I tried to take care of her, I found that every time I tried to take care of her, darn it, if she wasn't trying to take care of me.
Well, that makes for a nice little relationship.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
That worked out.
And that's
good.
Nice because you are nice.
Well, no, I'm not nice.
That's Buzz.
I'm an ass.
That's Buzz's commercial.
And thank God that I almost said the word. Let me just, not
terrible.
Not thank God.
No.
What happened today? Thank God the IMUS thing is going to be tabled for a couple of days, only from the standpoint that a lot of what I saw today was kind of what I had predicted on Monday, on Friday,
yeah.
Where it's not only the hip hop, but also now the starting the dialogue about people on the radio and why is there not civility and why is there so much meanness and can't we take that out? Anybody got today's Washington Post here?
I have it up here.
Not handy.
Mike, I have it up here.
Mike memorized.
Okay, what did Howard Kurtz say today, Mike?
Howard Kurtz was exclusively talking about hip-hop and rap music. I mean, he started out with his first paragraph being about Don Imus, and then he went on to talk about the lyrics and how that's a major issue as well.
Yeah, but he said something else, though.
Well, there was a second, there was an actual addendum to his column. You know, he writes a column with several headings in it, and then there was some other unrelated subject that was at the very end
something
of his...
Something that he wrote in the text of what he wrote today in his op-ed piece, what I guess you would call it for the Washington Post, was, you know, for a long time, people looked the other way at what Imus said. Let's not only look the other way at his racist comments, but as well, he was so mean-spirited. And what are we going...
Yeah, but he also did... I mean, Howard Kurtz did a whole thing on... you know, he actually articulated what a lot of people were saying, that, you know, if we're going to be looking at this, we have to look at all of it. We have to look at the music that we buy and that it's being promoted. That's what
the point that jumped out at me, though, again, it was mentioned in this, was the context of meanness. And when I saw it again today, it was how come we are not more civil in our society, and how come on radio it's now become okay to tell people to shut up, and it's okay to put people down. I mean, I heard it today.
Yeah.
But it'll be tabled now.
Yeah, it probably will. But I mean, you know, but you
we're going to get caught up in the whole.
You know, who knows? You know, does that also mean that you know when we have something like this? Did they have this 50 years ago? This kind of stuff. I mean, yeah.
What?
I mean, they had a guy at the Texas Book Depository that was shooting people. You know, but also on this scale, maybe it's because we have better automatic weapons. I mean, it's hard to say what.
The only thing we're saying was the guy in 1966
was it 66.
Yeah.
Texas Book Depository.
Right. The guy was up there with the just taking people out.
Well, that's what the guy's doing today, right? I mean,
right,
similar thing. And it's just
so I guess the answer would be maybe it's not that the guns are so much better. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I guess we haven't made. I mean, this has been happening. I mean, this has happened, but I believe this is on this scale. It's never there's never been anything like this.
Never
anything like this. This story today, and we're talking about a lot of stuff. I just want to say again that you know we're thinking about everybody that's probably you know closer to this thing than we are and going through a pretty unimaginable tragedy today.
So we'll get to this race thing as soon as we find someone to bring it up with us. You know, it's going to be hard to bring it back into the national spotlight again. Because,
even though it's important.
Because of what's happened now.
Right. Yeah.
And also I thought very interesting, this week's Newsweek has Imus on the cover, and it says exactly what we were asking last week. Who can say what?
Exactly.
That's a discussion that I wish we could engage in, but we won't now.
Who knows? Do you think there'll be a chance, there'll be an opportunity down the road, or do you think it's going to be forgotten because it's not a, you know, it's not a hot topic in everybody's front of their mind right now?
To be really 100% honest, if it had been something today on like 30 people being slaughtered,
right,
it probably would still hang in there as a story.
But
because of the magnitude and the tragedy of what happened today, in the way our society works, Imus is yesterday's news.
Oh, without question.
People will now look at that and say, screw race relations.
History.
You know, we got dead people.
Yeah, no. And, you know, this story's still going on, right?
It's going to be a while before. Right now, eyewitnesses are hard to come by because so many of them are either being questioned by the police or, as you know, many, many of them are in the hospital or passed away. So there really are not many witnesses to interview at this point.
It's amazing.
The goddamn feeding frenzy, though, without any, like everything, without any real information on all of the cable networks.
I don't remember, it's been a long time since I've had a story that I've heard that has changed so dramatically. Yeah. By 15-minute increments where you heard...
It's worse.
Wasn't it first it was one person shot?
Right. One person.
Right. And the gunman was on the loose.
Right.
And then you hear...
Then it was 22, then it was over 30.
Over 30.
And then I heard a report on the way in today, you know, not to be an alarmist, don't be surprised if it goes over 40.
Yeah, oh, yeah. With that many people injured.
With
a lot of them
people
critical.
That were brought critically into the hospital.
A lot of the injuries are from people falling or jumping out of the building trying to get away from the gunman. So a number of injuries have to do with that. He pretty much tried to kill everybody he saw. In the case of one building, the classroom building, the engineering building, I chained the front doors shut so that no one could get in or out, and then went room by room, killing each person in every room, or thinking he had, the few people who survived did so by playing dead. This is what we know so far.
And I guess another thing I've heard is that they have security cameras down at Virginia Tech that they're going to hopefully piece together what happened, the timeline, where this guy went. There's a lot of, I guess on any college campus, there are a lot of security cameras, so... Who knows?
Hope
not
it
that
helps.
It matters.
Hope it helps.
Yeah, hope it
in the
helps
investigation.
God,
don't
I
don't know.
Feel bad for those people.
Don't know. So, yeah, what an effed up world we live in. Very serious.
It truly, truly is. I mean, it really, really is.
Mike, let's see if we can maybe work some of yesterday or last week's events into today's show.
Very good.
Here's the question that I have for you. I was discussing with Rob, who, as you know, does not have TV now.
Hey.
Right?
Hey!
Well, it's one reason you're extra double chatty.
It almost stabbed.
He settled down though. He got over into his chair. He got into his chair, and he said, "You know, he's been motionless for the better part of the show."
All right, so Robert the Mailman, Bobby the Mailman, Bobby the Negro has been over in Thailand for over a week now.
He gets a lot of vacation time for all of his jobs.
Here is the text that he sent to Rob, the most recent text.
All right.
I've tried to text you, but they must not have gone through. Been living the life, partying,
ooh,
buying tailor-made suits, traveling around Bangkok, even celebrated the the tie year, where everyone throws water on you and paints your face with white S. My cell phone works. I'm staying another week. I'm going to another city, which is supposed to be worse than Bangkok. I don't know how that's possible. Call my cell. I've tried to call the show three times, but the 800 number don't work from here. And I called the 202 number, and I got a new guy's message. Mailman in Bangkok. Out.
Have you ever heard him sound happier?
No, he sounds
He sounds
happy.
Euphoric. He might be staying over there.
It's the new year, I think, is what he meant. He didn't type it in, though, because he's very busy.
The Thailand year.
I think he went over the day before you guys came back from vacation. So it's the day before, what was that, the 8th? Because he came back on the 9th.
He's been gone a long time.
So he's been 3 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. So here is the question for you.
Yes.
Rob says to me today, do you think he is aware of the IMUS thing? And I said, he's out of the country for all of that time, but yes, he obviously knows.
I don't think so.
I guarantee he is.
A personal guarantee?
Is where we are going to play.
Incredible!
The Robert the Mailman. IMUS in the morning game.
All right. I think Robert, the fact that he contacts the show, he likes to know what's going on. He's got opinions on everything. They have news on TV there. I'll bet he knows.
Yeah, I bet he knows.
But he's very busy getting custom-made suits.
Not always.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like Rod.
So this call will just be...
This is simply the game we're playing right now is
does he know?
Does he know that IMUS, everything about IMUS?
I'm like you. I think, of course, he has to know about this. Rob seems to think that he's... In a cone of invisibility.
What time is it over there?
It's
the morning, right?
9 hours ahead, I think.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Time machine.
Time machine. Only 9 hours ahead?
And find out who his cell carrier is.
Or 11, I think. Oh, no.
Your call did not go through.
Sure.
Please try your call again.
Because it's not tomorrow yet. 1703. He's face down.
Ass up?
He's in a brothel.
Come on down. Six rings for dialing for mailman.
All right, now, Don, are you enthusiastic in your prediction that he'll know what's going on? I'd put money on it, Mike.
Yeah, I would too.
Your call did not go through.
Have you checked in with him before?
He assures me the number works. I didn't want to call him and spoil it.
Do we know where he's staying over there?
I do.
Okay, can we reach him through that number?
I think so, yeah.
All right. That'd be fun, even just to talk to somebody at the switchboard.
Is he like just in a bathhouse somewhere?
He's in that. You remember the movie Deer Hunter, where they go over and the guys are playing a Russian roulette? He's in one of those places,
a steam hut. She says, "You too big. You too big."
So he sounds through that text message to be. Having a gay old time.
Celebrated the Thai New Year.
Wow. What a good time to be over there.
It's the best time. It's all the tourists.
I do hear it's a beautiful country.
He blends right in.
All right. Calm down.
All I said was one thing.
Just calm down. You are wild. God,
you and you
are
wrong.
Is this a ring? Hold on. Is this a ring?
He picked up.
That sounds a little more legit.
Too legit to quit.
For international.
What up, man?
Hello, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Robert Mailman?
Yeah, what's up?
Robert Mailman, it's Don and Mike.
You're on the air, Robert. You're on the air all the way over in Thailand.
Robert,
how do I sound, fellas?
You sound great. We only have one question to ask you. This is a serious question.
Yeah.
Do you know about IMUS in the morning?
Yeah, I heard about him.
Oh. Yeah, I knew it. Rob was wrong. We were right.
Mike and I win.
What happened? Let's make sure. What happened?
He called the winning basketball team a bunch of nappy-headed hoes and got fired last week.
Yeah, there you go. You're all over it.
Rob thought you were so out of the loop.
Oh, he got it wrong, though. He said it was the winning team.
Shut up.
Rob thought you wouldn't even have known about it. Yeah.
Nah, man, I'm trying to stay away from the news, man. I'm on the beach in Thailand in a city called Pattaya, which is Sin City, which is Miami Beach, and I'm in negotiation now for a hoe.
Wow. Hey, are you as happy as you sounded through your text message? You sound like you're having an incredible time.
Oh, Man, Bangkok is the bomb, man. I want to die here.
Really? I really want to die. You're my...
It is so beautiful. Hold on, man. I don't want my hoe to leave. Stay. Hey, man, they got everything here, man, and it's beautiful too.
How many suits have you bought?
I bought 3 suits, man. Wow. I plan to wear one in when I get back.
Are they incredible?
$500.
Are they incredible suits?
Robert,
call them that evening.
Hey, Robert, yeah. I've got to ask you something after the developments of the last week, friend. Why must you demean your lady friend by calling her a hoe?
They all are. You know how I feel about women. Doesn't matter whether they show their ass or not, they're all hoes. The most expensive hoe in the world is the one you marry. Ask Mike.
There goes this MSNBC gig.
All
wow,
right, Robert.
Okay, Robert.
There you go. Robbie, you're a big loser.
I'm having a blast over here, fellas.
When are you coming back, Robert?
I'll be back Sunday.
Sunday, all right.
Well, let's get you in here next week. Let's get you in here next week, and perhaps we'll invite you in for our discussion on race.
Oh, man. I would love to discuss race, especially now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So would we.
I know you would.
And how many weeks?
I'm having a great time, fellas.
Your total stay over in Thailand has been how many weeks, Robert?
2 weeks, my brother.
Two weeks.
Nice.
Okay, wow. Very good.
Nice.
Enjoy yourself.
Yes, fantastic. Oh, man. Tag team.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah. Yeah, real funny, real funny.
I want to play this for everybody in your family.
You know you're talking to me in the future, right?
That's right. I know. It's tomorrow already.
Well, what time is it there, Robert?
It is 3 o'clock Wednesday morning. Time machine.
Yeah.
The Adams Family.
F you. Left Rob too.
All right. Bye, Robert.
Bye, Robert.
Bye, bye. There he is.
You interrupted him.
3 o'clock in the morning. It sounded like it was the middle of the day.
Robert Adams.
He's doing some negotiating over there.
The Adams family. He hates having his last name mentioned.
He does.
On the show.
That's why we do it.
I liked his negotiation skill, which was. Stay?
Stay.
You stay?
Today, museum, when people come to see him, they really are the freedom, the Addams Family.
This is Robert the Mailman.
Sweet.
This is Robert the Angry Mailman for the Dons and Mike Show.
All right.
Oh, what a great theme.
There's the Bob Mailman Challenge.
Petite.
How'd you like to be in Bangkok with him at 3 in the morning?
You know, it might be a fun time.
It might be.
I would enjoy it.
It might be a lot of fun.
How
could you possibly think that there was anything racial going on in the world that he would not know about, even if he was over there with every prostitute known to mankind?
Well, he's plugged in. It's a smaller planet, too.
Yeah,
I mean, there's CNNs everywhere. You know, I mean, you see everything.
Internet. I thought Siam was more removed.
Siam. Well, that's because your image is the king and I.
That's what I think.
You think in Siam.
That's the suit he got, by the way.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
The red knickers and the red vest. That's what
right.
He's wearing.
Right? He'll have his hands on his hips like that.
Uh-huh. Like you'll run.
Hello. I'm Larry King of Siam.
Yes, Siam.
Larry King
of Siam. Been on the air a long time.
The Larry King of
Siam. 50 years.
New York City bought my first pair of glasses.
You know, this whole Virginia Tech thing, it's going to really screw up Larry's 50 years in broadcasting, the big tribute this week.
Yes.
Wednesday, right?
Is that when they're going to do it?
I was reading something that it's an entire week that they have the people on who normally don't do a show, like Oprah's going to be on. And
Only people I didn't get a chance to interview, John Paul II and Fidel Castro and Prince Charles. Those are the guys I want.
Who's your favorite?
The favorite guy, Malcolm X. Malcolm X, number one. I had to move that in there with all the recent Amish stuff.
Right? Yeah,
sure. Prior to that, it was Frank Sinatra.
Francis Albert Sinatra.
Francis Albert Egg Creams in Brooklyn. I'm never going to retire. Never going to retire.
Hey,
I'm too curious.
What do you think about Phil Leotardo?
Phil Leotardo, they changed his name. It was Leonardo, just like Da Vinci, the painter. And then they came through Ellis Island, and they completely destroyed them.
Did you watch The Sopranos last night? And like me, did you think when he said his name was Phil Leotardo, did you think it was like a retard thing?
Not like Ricky Ritardo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean and I laughed our asses off.
Not like a tutu thing?
It was great. Then I put on one of my black T-shirts and my jeans that are for people 70 years younger than I am, and we walked into the Nickelodeon studios.
Hey, as long as you're here, would you comment on a news story?
Sure.
Well, you saw this one first last night on Fox 5. An inmate mistakenly released from the D.C. jail, and tonight he is still on the loose. You are looking at Larry King Jr. right here. He was given his walking papers this week, even though a judge revoked his probation in order to serve 6 months in jail.
Let me tell you how it happened. All right, I'm in jail. I'm sitting there. I get a bar of soap. I get my shoe polish that I put for my black shoes that I have in jail, and I paint the bar of soap black. Then I carve it into a handgun. And I use the soap as a gun to spring me. And I get out. And now it's all over the news.
Fox News' Paul Wagner has this story.
Larry King is still on the loose.
Oh, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm wearing the prison jumpsuit. And I crawl through 300 yards of the most unimaginable filth and muck you'd ever believe. And then I've got my regular suit tied in a baggie. And then I go into the bank. And I was keeping books for the warden. I had a poster up. A poster of Angie Dickinson. And that's where I tunneled out. I tunneled out just like the Larry Shank Redemption. It was scary, but I was on the loose. I'm a very dangerous, very dangerous felon. I'm Larry King. Pay homage to me. Pay homage to the curious Larry King.
You don't watch the American Chopper, the new ones on TLC, do you? I'm talking to Mike now.
I watch the one. The only thing, usually when I see it, it's on whatever high is that Discovery?
Yeah, you know, they've changed networks now.
Yeah.
So the new series is on TLC, and I was watching one of the new episodes last night, and when you said Shawshank Redemption, reminded me.
Yeah, they had that one.
They're building a bike for HP. Have you seen this one before?
Yeah, I saw that one this weekend.
Where they make...
We saw the same episode, probably.
Where the Mikey makes a short movie,
and
they crack up like it's the funniest thing they've ever seen. Where, here's the premise of the movie.
All right.
Vince,
there is no premise.
Vince goes over to this other guy who works in the shop. They put some bling bling on this other guy that works in the motorcycle shop. Vince, the mechanic, goes over with a sieve and stabs him.
A sieve.
A
sifting.
This is why I would never.
He goes over with a strainer. That's the Food Network's version of it.
I'd never make it in prison, would I? he goes over with a sieve.
A sieve.
Pretend that he stabbed him, and he takes the bling, and then it's a shot of Paul Sr. standing in the window crying because they give him some Visine.
Oh. They're all big idiots, aren't they?
I mean,
they're so much fun to watch.
It is such a bad production.
Right.
And what they came up with for this spontaneous short movie to promote the fact that you can make movies on an HP computer,
right,
was to have one of the guys in the shop take out a shiv
and kill another guy in the shop. And then you see Paul, for no reason whatsoever, just standing there. So they give him Visine to do a fake tear. And all that to make their big bike for Hewlett-Packard, which is going to, you know, Hewlett-Packard's going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on the bike.
And what is so great is that when they're watching it, they're watching this thing, and they say, play it again, play it again. And they have Paul Sr., who just goes,
he shot him. He stuck him with a shiv.
And then we're making a movie of it, Mikey. And how about when they're starting to do that, and Paul comes over like in a moment of reality where he says, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, and Mikey does all the projects that are completely unrelated to actually building a motorcycle.
And did you see for the first time them give some back talk to a sponsor?
The guys with the tattoos.
No. The guys with that was recreational, I think. I'm talking about the same episode, though, when the guys from HP send back the drawings of the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, right.
Uh-huh. And they've changed the color scheme.
Uh-huh. Right.
And right away you see Paul Jr. sitting down with that dopey guy with a smelly dog. And he says, you know, there's no way that we can change what we're doing.
Yeah.
We got to get these guys on the phone right now.
They gave them attitude, but then they tried to do, I guess, a little merging of two reality shows, whatever it's called, the Ink show in Miami Ink. Miami Ink, and they did not like their attitude at all, and
told
them to go to hell.
Yeah, but the first, they do it on speakerphone.
Right.
Which is so great, because American Chopper, you know, it's like they go, what the hell, we don't want to do this promotion with the show. So they get him on a speakerphone,
right.
And Paul Sr.'s girlfriend is telling the girl.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to discuss her a little bit?
Maybe. Wow.
Let me just say, on behalf of Paul Sr.'s girlfriend.
Yes.
Have you seen an episode with the ex-Mrs. Tuttle?
No, I haven't.
He's made an incredible upgrade.
She looks like a, she, you know, and I don't think I'm being offensive here at all, when I think she looks like kind of a biker chick. Doesn't she look like a biker chick? I was kind of surprised enough. She didn't have tattoos.
Yes, she does.
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir, she does.
She really did. Anyway, I, you know, I think if I say anything about her, Paul Sr.'s going to, yeah, and I'm not going to say Paul Sr. anymore. I'm going to say Sr. I think Sr.'s going to come down and kick our ass.
They're on the speakerphone with these people who have a tattoo show.
Right.
They're going to come up from Miami to tattoo them, and Sr. ends up getting mad at them and ends up saying, like, F you. I don't think we can effing do business with you.
He makes a joke about he wants to have Paul Jr.'s face tattooed on his back.
Uh-huh.
And they all start laughing. And then on the other end, you hear them say something like, hey, we take our tattoos effing seriously here. And then Paul Sr. says, well, maybe we should do it some other time. Yeah, nice talking to you.
Uh-huh.
And
then later they get like the Paul Sr. of the tattoo place to call back.
Uh-huh.
And he says in the same macho tone, hey, I understand that you had a problem with one of our people that was on the phone. She's 23. She don't know S.
Because at the end, didn't the guy come in from the tattoo parlor down in Miami?
Yeah.
But they still had attitude. They still had attitude. Mm. You know what it is? You got guys that have never been on, you know, no matter what, the Tuttles, they've been on TV a long time. So they've kind of established themselves. But then you've got the Miami Ink show. All right. Normally, these are people that wallow in obscurity their whole lives. They make motorcycles and they tap two people's arms. Now you give them these reality shows, and it's like a battle of the stars.
Yeah.
It's a battle of all the egos, you know, and they all have ego. It's hysterical.
But what's really great about the Tuttles is they have the ego and they have the attitude, but they really don't.
They don't nearly as much as that Jesse James show.
That more down to earth.
They have it, mm-hmm. and they know that they're popular.
Right.
But like, have you ever seen the episode when they go into their retail store?
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
Where it looks like a consignment shop.
Yes.
It's like a thrift shop. That's when you realize, you know, these guys are not really living as high on the hog as you might think.
They're building
a kick-ass show.
They're building their new wonderful like super center for America. You know, for Orange County Choppers, and they have to go to the board meeting.
Oh, they showed that as
and
well.
And it's so real because they're going through the same thing that anybody that's ever had to, like, get a house build has to go through that. And you see Paul's, you know, Senior. I got to call him Senior. That's what I'm going to start calling him. Senior's just sitting there so pissed off. I'm used to fast tracking anything I want to do. And he's listening to these guys, these bureaucrats that people have to deal with. It is really fantastic. You know, I compare the two shows because I watch both of them a little bit. I watch the Jesse James show, too. And the difference is, and really, when they said this, they really do like to have as much fun as they do doing the show. They like to enjoy themselves, and I think that that's why this is a perfect vehicle for them. On the Jesse James show, I think that guy is always pissed off.
Yeah.
I really get that impression watching him that he is always pissed off. I really like the Tuttles.
Don't dig him. Yeah, I'm a fan of the Tuttles as well. And the Sopranos, another great one last night.
Amen.
I mean, listen, we all know that cancer is awful, but who knew that cancer works so fast?
On one episode.
Johnny Sack, I mean, you're talking about...
You can be diagnosed with it, get it, have it establish itself, and boom.
And you check out. I mean, in like 48 minutes, that's it. You're history, Jackson.
Yeah, Sidney Pollack couldn't help him. Couldn't save him.
No.
Yeah, I killed my wife. Yeah. Sidney Pollack.
And what about when Ginny Sachs says, you know, when the doctor told him to stop smoking, I lost 27 pounds.
Yeah. That was a good
like
moment.
Beautiful.
And Ginny Sachs.
Is that your left toe?
And the daughter comes in, she's just as big.
You pig.
I love that.
Ah, you pig, yeah.
Seems like next week we're going to see a lot happen on The Sopranos.
Yeah, let me do a quick thing with the time here to see where we're doing. It's 4:20. Hey, everybody. Good guy, chime time. 4:22.
Oh, two minutes past Buzz's favorite time.
No more nappy-headed hoe time. 22 past the hour.
22.
So we have a special guest today just for Mike O'Mara.
Really?
Let me do some quick math here.
Clock math, we call it.
clock management.
If we break now, we come back, we can do a break, and then we can have Mike's special guest.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Any hints? Do I get any hints?
No, we'll do that later.
Any hints at all?
Simply your idol.
He's dead.
Not Buddy Rich. Simply your idol. Okay? Gotta hit a break.
Okay. You're mocking.
I'm not mocking.
Real idol?
I'm not mocking.
Oh, man, I can't believe Randy's going to be in the house again.
Not Randy Quaid.
Oh, I was thinking about Randy Jackson.
Nobody named Randy.
Nobody named Randy.
No.
But will the person be Randy?
Yes.
No. Not a chance.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact.
Quite the opposite.
As a matter of fact, I really hope, as much as I like to flap my gums, I really hope that you take the lead on the segment.
Huh? I'm going to have to take the lead on it.
I think so.
Okay, I'm excited. Is it sports?
Nope.
It's not sports.
It's theater arts.
Theater arts.
Oh, my.
The category. Okay, theater. Now I have no idea.
We'll be right back, Brad.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What the hell am I looking at? When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
We passed it.
When?
Just now. We're at now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right, we are.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They try to help you. So go to hell. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Dongo! Dongo!
What not?
Dumbass.
I'm with you.
All right, Mike.
All right, I'm ready.
Our guest is on the telephone.
Very good. This is not a mystery guest.
No, I'm going to tell you right up front who this person is.
My idol.
One of your idols.
One of my idols. All
one
right,
of your
I'm
idols,
ready.
I believe. Buzz, would you agree or not?
I don't even know who it is, so I'll be surprised as well.
I'm excited. I love excitement.
Mikey is going to be in D.C. this weekend.
All right. I'm waiting with bated breath.
He is going to be the lead man at the correspondence dinner this weekend.
Really?
Please say hello to your idol, Rich Little.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Rich Little.
Hello.
Rich Little.
Yeah?
How are you, Rich?
I'm fine. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us, sir?
Yeah.
Wonderful it is to talk to you.
Good.
How's it going?
Very good. Very good.
Boy, I tell you, I remember growing up listening to you, watching you on The Tonight Show. How long have you been in show business, Rich Little?
Oh, gee, darn near 50 years.
You know, Rich, Mike...
Amazing, isn't it? I'm only 38.
That's 38. You don't look a day over 25.
Hey, I don't know how I did that.
My best buddy, Mike, fancies himself as an impressionist as well.
Certainly not even remotely in the league of one Rich Little who's, up in the top two, at least, of all the people that have ever done this. You know, I mean, there
it
was...
It would be, you and him?
It would be me and Rich Little. No, of course not. Of course not. Rich, I think really, back in the day... Would you agree that when you started your career, it was really you and a guy that a lot of people don't know anymore by the name of David Fry? Would you say that was accurate?
No, I'd say it was Frank Gorshin.
Okay, I see. Well, Frank Gorshin was better known. Where would you put David Fry on that list?
Now,
I don't know whether you had any kind of showbiz fights with him or anything like that, but I, we don't know.
Well, just one minor little blow once when he got upset and told me not to do his Nixon.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so that was...
He looked at me, we're coming out of a restaurant,
I knew it.
He said, don't do my Nixon.
And he was kind of a one... That was all he did, right? Wasn't that his only thing?
Well, no, that's not true. He did other... He did Lyndon Johnson very well. He did William F. Buckley was one of his big impressions. He did other voices. We did a show called Copycats together.
I remember that.
The first one we did from New York, and then later we went to England and did it with another cast. But the first one he was on, and he was an interesting guy. He got so into the people he was doing, it was unbelievable how serious he took it. I remember he used to throw up before going on stage every performance.
Wow.
So I never was too close to David.
Read between the lines, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Rich, before I know Mike just cannot wait to just get one on load of you and like and
I've got lots of questions.
Work on the chops.
I've got lots of chops. We'll have a little workshop done.
I got a question for you. Really, you're replacing they've had a long list of guys who MC this thing every year. And it was Stephen Colbert last year, wasn't it? He did like a less than bang up job, as some people thought.
Controversial.
What are you planning this year as the guy in charge of the correspondence dinner?
Just to entertain, do my impressions. You know, I'm not going to make any points politically. I don't think it's the right occasion. Besides, I'm not a political satirist anyway. I'll just do some voices. I'll do probably six presidents. And I'll do... I'll do a little Johnny Carson that I'm known for, and a little Andy Rooney, perhaps, and maybe some Arnold Schwarzenegger, and a little bit of John McCain that I'm doing now. So,
you're doing a little John McCain. Not a chance that we could get a little taste of John McCain, is there?
John McCain, of course, you know, talks sort of out of his teeth, and it's kind of a kind of a folksy little quality.
Yeah,
and,
baby.
Rich, I gotta tell you something.
That's really good. Nobody's doing John McCain either.
When you started doing that, Mike looks up and gives me a look like, hey, you know what? This guy's pretty good.
Well, you know what I like about it? It's like nobody does. Is anybody doing John McCain? I don't think anybody's doing John McCain.
But you know something? If Hillary ever becomes president, maybe my career will be over.
I know.
What do I do then?
You haven't worked on a Hillary? You don't?
Oh, no. No. I'll have to punt.
Cross the gender lines.
No, I'm looking on.
But you really got pigeonholed for Johnny, and that can be good and that can be bad. Are you... you know, are you happy that you were known, you know, for Johnny to such an extent where that's what everybody wanted you to do?
No, because I was known for doing Nixon for years, too, before that.
Yeah, yeah, but
and
Johnny was the big
for a while.
Right.
Reagan was a big voice for me. Carson was great, but, you know, I didn't base my career on one voice.
What's your biggest voice, Mike? Do you think it's Charlie?
Charlie. Uh-huh. Charlie Stuang Stabilite. A fictitious character, Rich, that nobody can call me on. That's the nice thing about it.
Do it for Rich.
No, I will
please.
Not. No.
Hello, Rich.
Hello.
How are you? This is Charlie.
Of course it is.
Isn't that good? Do you like that? Where do you rate that on a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know.
All right, you know what? Here we go. Here's a real, because I put Mike on the spot with that, since Charlie is like a homegrown...
Not an impression, really.
I've got a list.
No, but I mean, you look at a guy like Rich Little. I mean,
the character
you
invented, right?
It's a character I invented,
I've got a list
yes.
of Rich Little's voices right
okay.
here.
All right.
That they supplied us.
All right.
Yeah.
For instance, I'm trying to find any of these that Mike can do.
Okay.
Do you do Charles Bickford?
Hold on,
Jeffrey Scott.
Hold on, you know, no, these are not all from the dark end. How about
Sir Cedric Hardwick?
Rich, may we please hear your Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil, I know that you know. And if you knew that I knew that, then we both would know.
That's brilliant.
Now, Mike,
otherwise, no one knows.
Mike?
I'm not going to get into an impression contest with Rich Little. You know I don't like to do that. I like to let the... I don't do it with Frank Caliendo. I'm not going to do it with Rich Little. You know, I'm not going to... I mean, I don't want to do that.
Please.
I really don't want to. It's embarrassing.
Maybe you could get some tips.
I will. You know what? I will ask him for tips. How do you get a voice? How do you generate a voice?
Or
how
are you afraid you'll show him up?
Does it pop into your head?
Yeah, you just watch them and you know, sort of get to know the person and know their body language and some of their expressions, and then it either comes gradually or it doesn't come at all.
Do you work more? Do you think you work more on the expressions and what they say?
You know, when I say expressions, facial expressions, because you're, you know, you're on stage and you're on, or do you, you know, is it equal with the, with working on the voice? I'm curious about that.
Well, if you can look like them, it only helps. I mean, it helps a lot. But if you can't, you just rely on the voice, you know, and, the ones that have been, physical for me, well, Johnny Carson's one, Jack Lemmon's one, Jack Benny's one, you know, that I can sort of look like.
Right.
Then you get into voices like Orson Welles and people like that, where you just got to do the voice, you know.
I don't even remember the history of it, but what was the, when you first did it, how was it received by Johnny? He dug it, right? He liked it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
otherwise, you might have had some trouble, right?
No, he said, Rich, you do me so good, you should start writing out my alimony checks.
That's it. That's Johnny.
I said, No, thanks.
Didn't they fight in real life? Didn't Johnny hate him?
No, that was
Johnny
Wayne
Newton. Was a good subject because everybody knew him. Everybody knew all his mannerisms and all his...
the mics, he can't hear us.
He was one of the most...
I swear to God, I want to ask him about
I saw
that.
Johnny Carson about 2 years before he passed away. I saw him in a restaurant, and he said to me, Richard, are you still doing me in your act? And I said, of course. He said... Why? Nobody knows who I am. And I had to convince him that they did know who he was, and he will always be remembered.
Well, then,
and he had a hard time accepting that.
Is this an urban legend, then, or is it in somehow based in truth, something that I've heard, that you did something in your impression that pissed Johnny Carson off, and that for him, there was a period he wouldn't have
perhaps
on the Tonight Show. Is
not sure about that.
Okay, all right. I'm glad I asked you about that.
I don't know what the reason was, but after a while, they didn't book me anymore.
I'll tell you what I read. I read that you did an impression where you made one too many jokes about the ex-wife and one too many jokes about something, and I got back to him. That's what I have.
Maybe.
But you but even after that, you maintained your relationship with Johnny right up to the end.
Yeah, the last time I saw him in this restaurant, he was very friendly and very interested in how the impression was going over, and I was still doing it. Do they remember me? And very insecure, and thought that because he wasn't on TV, that nobody would remember who he was at all.
How did you how'd you like being on Letterman when you were on Letterman?
I loved it. It was great to be back. And yeah, that's in the old Ed Sullivan Theater. And when the show was over, I went down to the basement, and so many memories came back. I said, boy, this hasn't changed at all. I stood right here while Ed chewed me out, and he was right there.
You came along. You mentioned Frank Gorshin before. Was Frank Gorshin an inspiration to you when you were starting out?
Frank was the first impersonator that was a headliner. Before that, all impersonators just did 10 minutes in front of the curtain for an opening act. And Frank was the first one to open it up and become a headliner on his own doing impressions.
Rich, how come there are not more guys like you and like Mike in both areas of the business? And, you know, we're not really in showbiz like you are, but, you know, it used to be there were a lot of guys doing impressions on the radio, and there were a lot of impressionists. Now it's hard to find anybody doing either genre. Why do you think that is?
Well, possibly it could be that there aren't great voices anymore, not as many as there used to be.
I think that's true.
When an impersonator 10 years from now says he's going to do some of the old stars, how does he do Matt Damian?
Matt Damian.
Matt Damon.
Does he do Ben Affleck, you know?
Right. You know, it's true. I mean, it's you don't get as many guys like that. And when there's somebody that you want to do an impression of, they have to have a demonstratively noticeable trait. That's why, that's why the John McCain knocked my socks off. I thought that was really, really
well. Terrific. You know, politicians are good subjects because they're older people. Older people are usually better to imitate because they got character and their voices are a little gruff, or you know, they have a bit of a lisp or whatever it is, than a young person in their 20s or younger, tougher to do.
And how long are you going to stick with it? How long are you going to keep performing?
Oh, I'm going to do it, as long as my health is good, I'll continue doing it. You know, I'm working on a one-man show right now in Jimmy Stewart, and I've been writing it every day, and should be finished by the end of the summer.
Rob, would you like to do a little
Jimmy
Stewart?
It's going to be a whole show on Jimmy's whole career, and I'll have in the show I'll have Henry Fonda and some of the people associated with.
I must tell him it's Matt Damon.
Brennan and people he's worked.
It's not Matt
with,
Damon.
Yeah.
I don't know how to jump into this. It's Matt Damon, not Matt Damien.
Matt Damon.
I hate.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I've
completely stopped.
Well, he doesn't know himself.
Doesn't stand up.
He doesn't know himself. And Rich, when you're here on Saturday night, here's a question I've always wanted to ask, a very personal question. Do you get a lot of coin for doing something like this? Because they've had a list of people.
Yeah, big illustrious list of people that have hosted the correspondence dinner. Is it a paid gig anyway? Or is it just something where you show up?
It's a paid gig. It isn't a great paying gig.
Right. But you do it for the notoriety, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, it'll be fun to do it in front of Bush, George W., because I've never met him, and that'll be the sixth president that I've done in front of.
Oh, wow. That's got to be kind of neat. That's got to be a lot of fun.
You know, but I will keep my car parked facing north just in case I have to get back to Canada in a hurry.
You're a Canadian. Aren't you a Canadian?
I'm a Canadian.
A Canadian!
Oh.
Yeah. How dare a Canadian make fun of our Canadian politicians?
Rich, let me ask you a question. We've got an assistant producer on the show, Rob Spiewak, who insists that the best part of Canada's population is amassed on the Canadian border and that they're going to attack the United States. Where do you line up on that one?
What, the whole bunch of people are ready to come down here?
I believe that Rob has said for years that Canada is going to attack us. That's why most of their population...
They already have. Oh, yeah, because a lot of comics come out of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
True. But it's a fact, Rich, that 85% of the Canadian population lives within 5 miles of the U.S. border, right?
That's true.
Yeah, you see, they're ready to attack, Mike.
Rob, I don't believe it.
It has been nice talking to you. I'm just going to leave it in Mike's hands now, because really you are Mike's idol, so...
Absolutely.
So
and
Mike,
I just want to say this is an honor, and, you know, I grew up watching you, and it's just it's a thrill to have you on the show, and I wish you a lot of luck at the correspondence dinner.
Well, I hope that George W. Bush is going to laugh.
I hope he does, too.
I don't know why the American people are picking on him.
Well, if he doesn't laugh...
He hasn't done anything.
One more audit, that's all it'll be. Don't worry about it.
All right, nice talking to you, Rich.
Thank you, Rich Little.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank
Rich
you,
Rich
Little.
Bye-bye.
Jesus Christ. Talk about the old bait and switch.
Wow.
I was completely, completely caught by surprise there. I my idol. I talk about him constantly, don't I?
I do.
Always.
On and
Rich
on.
Little this. Rich
I'm
Little
not.
That.
He's a famous impressionist.
And I start right out of the chute with a guy he had a fight with. I had no idea. I didn't know. I didn't know that he had a fight with that. I guess he had a fight with Johnny, too. Well, not a real fight with Johnny, but...
It was kind of a famous one with Johnny, as I recall.
Out. He was never on again. I mean, I remember that, you know?
You know, what's funny is, how long ago was it? It was one of my many just diarrhea of the mouth, stream of consciousness things, but I had watched something with Rich Little on TV like a month and a half ago.
Right.
And had mentioned that he had mispronounced Matt Damon's name in that interview as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he's going around calling him Matt Damon.
Yeah, because...
Like I thought this was maybe a slip of the tongue reserved for our show.
It was the exact same question that they asked him on this interview show where they said, how come you don't do any current celebrities? And he said, none of them have very recognizable voices.
Right.
Like, what about Matt same thing. What about Matt Damien?
He's a serious impressionist.
Sure is.
He takes his job very, very seriously. I will give him props on the John McCain. I thought that really sounded cool. Nobody's doing that. I like that. That's very cool.
I tried to ask him what he thinks about...
I didn't want to get into
Lewis Black. Here's what Lewis Black had to say.
Right. About Rich Little?
Oh, about Rich Little doing the correspondence dinner.
Uh-huh.
It's like going from Jackson Pollock to paint by numbers.
Uh-huh.
God love him, but he's not from this decade.
True.
He's not from the last decade.
True.
He's not from the decade before that. He's in no position to pose any threat to anyone. He makes Bob Hope look like Lenny Bruce.
But we like guys like that. You know, that's why we went to see Wayne Newton at the Birchmere.
This is sad.
The Birchmere. Don't you remember when Ronald Reagan hired Wayne Newton to replace the Beach Boys on the Mall?
What else does Lewis Black say? What they want at these events are PC jokes, and PC jokes aren't funny.
Right.
You spend the rest of the year making fun of these people. When you come to D.C., you have to turn your act into a series of knock-knock jokes. Let him do it.
I thought, well, wait a minute, though. Does Bush have any control over who they invite?
I don't think so, no.
I'd be curious to know who the people were. I mean, it's the Correspondents Association,
right,
correct?
Right.
I'd be curious to know who's running that ship right now.
I think that
this year someone with a lot.
I think it's an understanding that they're not too rough on the president because the president comes every year.
Right.
So that it's sort of like a handshake deal.
Oh, he must really enjoy himself.
Oh, I'm sure. And the food is wonderful.
What do you mean a handshake deal that they're not too rough on the president?
Like they don't get a guy that would really cut into him too bad.
They've had guys that have done that.
That's why they're backing up on
it. That's why they're stopping. It's been kind of uncomfortable for the last two or three
years. Last year, Stephen Colbert did a pretty good job of cutting him open.
Yeah.
And wasn't it the year before they had the professional impersonator with all the makeup and everything come out and do it?
Oh, the guy that's on Leno all the time.
And I think the year before that might have been a guy that now is looking for work.
Who's that?
Oh, that's right.
That was with the Clintons, though.
Was that the Clintons?
Yes. Yeah.
How long on Hillary?
Bush has been the president like for 100 years. it was a long time ago, Mike. We were in cowboy hats.
Well, it's nice to know that.
And not just us; they were all wearing cowboy hats.
Nice to know that journalists in this country are trying to please the president. That's that. You know, when you get there, you know, man. Who's going to be next year? Are we going to get Putin? You can get Pootie Poot showing up or
they've
what?
They booked next year. They've booked the Wiggles.
Here's the headline right here. With Rich Little, press corps is assured a nice impression.
Yes.
No.
Well, I, you know what? If I had known that they had all this press, that maybe, no, he wouldn't do it. I mean, where's he been? Branson, Missouri? Is that where he's been performing?
I don't know, Mike. All I know is.
He's my idol.
The region list. See if you can add up here.
Okay.
Who's in some of the names? They gave us a list of his impressions.
You mean you want me to say whether I do them or not?
Just listen to the name.
Okay. Whatever you care.
React.
Al Jolson.
Hey.
Yes.
Bela Lugosi.
Okay.
Boris Karloff. Broderick Crawford.
Wow.
Clark Gable. Claude Rains.
God.
Dennis Weaver. Dr. Phil. Okay, that's one that's modern. Dwight David Eisenhower. Ed Sullivan. Elvis Presley. Ernest Borgnine. Foster Brooks.
Hey!
Fozzie Bear.
Oh.
Fred McMurray.
Wow.
George Bush.
Are you getting to the end of the list?
No, Mike. These are alphabetically by the first name.
Ah.
George W. Bush. All right, there's two almost happening ones. Oh, no. This is a mistake on his list.
One.
Well, Rob, read this one right here.
Look. He does that. Gerald Ford?
No, he's dead, though.
Well, a lot of those people.
Blasphemy. Yeah, in fact, I would say. So far, about 80% of your list is dead.
I know, but he's newly dead.
And, hey, there's nothing wrong with doing dead people.
That's right. He's newly dead. That's all.
Please don't isolate that and use that against me in the future. You know.
Humphrey Bogart.
You know.
You know.
Where's Tom Gavin?
Jack Benny. Tom Gavin?
Kermit the Frog.
Uh-huh. You know what I'm proud of? The only voice I did for him was Charlie.
Yeah. Did you create that character?
Yes, I did, Mr. Little.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Don?
What did you think of Rich Little?
I thought he sucked.
Why's that, Charlie?
I don't know. You know.
Windy.
Yeah. Ooh.
20-year storm, Charlie.
20 years.
That's right.
All right, we got a break. We'll be right back. Here's one of the voices Rich Little does. As we go to break,
way down on the levee in old Alabama.
Jolson.
The daddy and nanny.
And that's not the original Jolson. That's Rob Spiewak singing.
Want to tell us what that's I Miss in the Morning. Matt Damian.
Well, you know, I really don't know if I'm coming back because I feel like I've achieved everything I need to achieve in radio now. It's really no need for me to continue.
Today's a magic day for you,
it's
Mike.
It's the pinnacle. I have climbed the mountain. It's my Everest.
You're a hero.
I'm looking down on the world now. Been done.
There you go. You are the wind beneath his wings.
That's right.
And we will
so
be
so nice
back.
To have you on the show. Serious man. Now I'm doing Rich Little.
That's good.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rob.
That's the way he sounds.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think that was particularly funny.
Matt Damien.
I'm going back to Canada if Matt Damien chases me away. Hey, I got something out of it. Thanks so much. Looking forward to the jokes. Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you, Donald. What a pleasure. What a pleasure. This is a fine organization.
We got to pause. We'll be right back. Okay, Rich?
Absolutely, Don. If you'd like me to stay, I'll stay. If Johnny doesn't mind, that's what I heard. But I'm not quite sure. No, I didn't like him. He threw up before every performance.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And now for Rich Little, it's not a very funny tape. It's from the movie Syriana. Here's Matt Damien.
$75 million. Great. That's great. How much for my other kid? You know, if I were your economic advisor, I'd tell you that that's not the stupidest thing, financially speaking, that you've ever done, but probably just the dumbest thing you'll do today.
See, not really a funny tape, but...
Now, that's not a very good voice.
That's Matt Damien.
Probably. But why would you need an economic advisor?
Oh, hold on a second. I wanted to go to another tape. Cut number one. That's not Matt Damien.
Damien.
I wanted someone to say, and I love that kid in The Omen. You know, Damon.
Damon.
Medical authorities state that of the type of teenage girls flying at public health stations for aid, the percentage that is infected with venereal disease is always very high. Yeah. In all of these cases where youthful energy and inquisitiveness are unrestrained, the sex urge is always present.
Always.
And promiscuity nearly always follows with its inevitable harvest of abortions, illegitimate births, and disease.
I'm Miss Beth Ann.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, hell yeah.
These boys make me sick.
Hey, hey, hey. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, hey, hey. I remember coming home once. And my father says C's are not allowed in this house.
You want to give me a C?
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
Faggot.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Oh, no!
Caution. Retards in area. The Don and Mike Show.
He's mentally retarded.
All right, everybody. Hi there.
That's right.
What's happening here? Have we even taken any phone calls today?
No, we haven't.
No. I don't think so. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Hey, I just wanted to remind Don and Mike that Team America did a great impression of Matt Damien.
Who did?
Oh, you mean the marionettes, the little puppets?
Oh, the puppets.
Matt Damien.
Right, Team America, right, Matt Damien.
But did they have a good voice? I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm going to keep my act as it is.
And I was talking with Rob during the spots. Mm-hmm. First off, breaking from that commercial set was great. Because as soon as we took the headphones off, Mike said, God, don't you know I think that guy sucks? Of course, I've always known you thought Rich Little sucks.
Rich, I can't remember in the last 15 years whether we've ever had a meaningful conversation about Rich Little.
No, but he's great.
That's what surprised me. Yeah. I didn't know
that you knew that, whatever. No, I knew that you don't like him.
And then so now I know where you got your joy from. It was putting me in that situation where I have to be polite.
I know you.
And I'm sitting there going, oh, hello. So nice. So I didn't know what to say to the guy.
And the whole rap why he's doing
it. And, you know, seriously, I think if I remember correctly, he had a tremendous rivalry with that guy that used to do Nixon, David Frye. Yeah. And I just blurted that out at the very beginning. You know?
And the reason he's doing the thing, as we covered, not with him on the phone, of course, is because he won't say anything that anyone will find even remotely offensive.
Right. I think that's the sole reason, but I got something out of it. I got a Rich Little impression.
Yeah,
that's great.
I don't think
which makes me very happy.
Nobody else does that.
You know, and the thing is, whenever you would hear him talk, he would always talk like that. So we take the headphones off, and Mike goes, God, I hate that guy. Don't you know I hate that guy?
You said that already.
And then the next thing Rob says is, well, being as you brought up the Johnny thing, why didn't you bring up the Letterman thing?
What is the Letterman thing?
Well...
according to Rob, and I trust him on this because he didn't read it from a book, he said that in that HBO movie where Rich Little played Johnny
the
Carson,
the name of that movie?
The Late Shift.
The Late Shift.
That is the thing that sent Johnny Carson over the edge.
Oh, yeah. So that's when he wasn't booked, but that was long after.
They did not like each other for a long time.
Right.
Johnny Carson had been mad at Rich Little for a long time. And then he did that cameo where he appeared as Johnny Carson.
I thought, the biggest joke in The Late Shift. I thought there were a few jokes in The Late Shift, you know. That's not really a tour de force as far as TV movies go.
What I remember, like, when the press was hyping The Late Shift, is Rich's attitude. Rich, like, he's my buddy. Rich Little's attitude was like, well, screw it. You know, I might as well do it. Because there's no, you know, you might as well burn that bridge.
So for years and years, it's one of those guys. Like, there were many comedians and other people, other performers, that were vetoed by Johnny Carson.
Johnny.
I'm sorry, Johnny.
Are you going to change your act?
I'm not going to change my act. I put in lots of phone calls to him.
Hello, Don and Mike Joe.
Hey, Don and Mike and Buzz. Hey. Anyway, this is Mike. Mike, I wanted to tell you that, you know, Rich Little, he's not even relevant anymore. You're a much better impressionist than he is.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad.
I'm glad that we didn't get into that because I wouldn't have been comfortable. That would have been outside of my Canadian comfort zone.
That would be a guy who does not get the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. That's right.
Yes, but he got a compliment from me, so maybe he gets a little of the joke.
So if you're out there listening, Rich, if you're out there listening right now, my buddy Mike could teach you a couple of things.
But I don't think of myself as really, I do voices sometimes, but I don't do, I mean, seriously, I don't think of myself as an impressionist. I really don't.
You know,
I do funny voices sometimes, occasionally. I don't think that's not what my job is.
Well, you know, it's kind of weird how...
I'm a mimic.
It is weird how our show has evolved. I was reading something on our website over the weekend at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wrote, our listeners were getting into a big discussion about hate radio and I miss and everything else.
Right.
And somebody wrote, well, my favorite part of the show is Mike does his impressions. Mm-hmm. And I wish he would do them more. He doesn't do them as much as he used to, as if it was an edict that had come down. It's not. It's the way Mike feels most comfortable.
Well, I mean, actually, the way the show's evolved is, you know, where we have talked more and more about what goes on in our lives, and that's kind of what's happened.
And isn't it true, Mike, that there are fewer voices to do now?
I disagree with that. I really, you know what, it's just, you know, I really think if you added up, you know, new stuff, maybe it's true, but I think that's a cop-out, too. I mean, really, he just contradicted himself when Rich Little was on here by doing John McCain.
Right.
And if it's not an actor, it's going to be an impressionist. And if you don't, you know, you have Napoleon Dynamite. A guy like that comes on with a silly voice like that. And you've got Borat. I mean, these guys are like 2 weeks ago. And everybody's doing those guys. Right. I mean, I think that's a total cop out because everybody's going to have. The fact is, as long as women are having babies, they're going to be people with funny voices.
The only thing, just to get back to this thing about you and the voices and how much you do on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to clear this up because someone did have a legit question on our website about that. I think the only thing that we've done, and it's something that Mike brought up to me off the air, and we do it now. Mike really said, what's the need for, you know...
Not just the door per se, but as far as
setup.
Just the big elaborate Friday setup where we would say, and now here he comes. I think the door is a wonderful thing, like to cue me to come in and do somebody. But I also think that I like doing things more spontaneous. If you'll be talking about somebody and I do a voice, and I do that, if anybody has been paying attention, I do that probably more.
All the time.
Than I've done that in the past.
And that was my point, too, that the show is a little more free-flowing and that we don't necessarily now say, okay, we're going to stop down now for 20 minutes and you're going to do one voice.
We have an example on today's show, Larry King. It happened, you know, a little while ago. That's what I'm much more comfortable doing it like that when it's relevant, when it's spontaneous, when somebody's, you know, having something happen as opposed to,
how do you feel about that, Ridge Little?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I talked to Johnny and Johnny said, you're screwed. And, frankly, would you like to know the way the conversation really went?
Yes.
I saw him in a restaurant and he said, are you still doing me in your act? And I said, I sure am, fat ass.
That didn't help.
And he died.
I
like the way it is right now. I mean, and I think everything on this show evolves a little bit. Uh-huh. And that's one of the things that evolved.
So to that person, I wanted to address that and tell them, Mike's right. If you listen to the entire show, there is more of Mike doing that particular part of his talent.
And when we used to do it where there'd be like that Jeopardy thing on Friday, if something happened early in the show on Friday, I wouldn't do a voice because I said, well, I got this whole big thing coming up. And now I can do it, whenever I want to. And, of course, now I will be doing it for the rest of the show. different voices for the rest of the show.
Everything evolves on this show except Joe.
Yes.
Hi, Joe. Joe, how are you doing, Joe?
That is what we refer to as the Monday holding pattern.
Mm-hmm. Everything moves, everything changes except Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what I got to do right now, if you'll give me uno momento, is call a very special lady.
Oh. She must be a special lady and a very special girl.
Is it Mrs. Little?
She got to be a special lady.
Ha, ha, ha.
It's Phyllis Diller. That's logically who he should be married to.
Chicken Little. What was the movie? Stuart Little. That was
Stuart
incredible.
Stuart Little.
The little bounce that drove the car.
And Tony.
Great sex scene. Great sex scene in that movie.
In Stuart Little?
Yeah. Mm. It's when Stuart Little finally gets the bird.
I thought you meant it's when Stuart Little climbs in bed and ends up in, what's her name's underpants?
The mom, Gina Davis.
In the skeet shooters.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, she's not a skeet shooter.
She's the archer, Don.
The archer.
She's the fabulous archer. She knows her way around a bow and arrow.
And the bird is watching. The people. Like Gene Hackman.
Stuart Little.
Hold on a second. Why is that light flashing? See that one right there?
What's this?
No, it's not flashing. See?
Oh, because you're not hitting zero. No, the tape button,
you bastard.
Sorry about that.
All I know is that a moment ago you said you were going to call a special lady.
I am.
A very special lady.
Make sure she's there.
Very good, m'lady.
Thank you, my lord.
I watched the crappiest thing last night. The Tudors.
Sucks. It's just like Rome. You're so gay with all of those. I like shows about the Roman Empire.
Hey, Little House on the Prairie, ease up on that, okay? Really.
You
can throw the gay at me, but you know,
House
go back to Merlin Olsen, and that's fine.
Oh, Karen Grassel.
Now, Rome.
Hello.
Hi, Mom. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Speaking of hot as balls, here is Big Frida.
Hello, Big Frida.
Hi. Hi, group. Hi, guys.
Just wanted to give you a quick call to give you a moment to talk about Don Ho, because... Seriously, you love Don Ho like you don't love any other entertainer. Isn't that right, Mom?
That's right. I've never really kissed any other ones.
Oh, did you get a chance to kiss Don Ho?
Well, he kissed me. I've got the picture, you know.
So it was a Saturday night, and as I mentioned, Janet and I were both very sick, and we were in bed watching the 10 o'clock news. And it comes on, Don Ho has died.
Yeah.
And I said to Jan, I said, I can't call Big Frida now because, and I told Janet your whole thing with her and like how you play the Christmas album starting on Thanksgiving and you won't stop with it.
Oh, yes, you have to hear that on Thanksgiving.
So I said to Jan, I said, I'm going to wait until Sunday. I'm going to give it a day. So it was late in the day yesterday. Mama was like 4 o'clock. I called her up. And I, right out of the blue, I'm like, hey, how you doing? It's me. And, I'm sure you've heard, I'm really sorry about Don Ho. And
she hadn't heard?
She had not heard.
Oh, no.
She had not heard.
I thought you were so sweet to call me and let me know. And the first thing this morning before I got out of bed, Doug called me to tell me that Don Ho died.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You tell her that day. Tell her someone else called you already and told you already, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
And Robin called me as soon as she got home from school.
What made Don Ho so special?
If only all of your real children loved you as much as I do, they would have called you immediately. And I
I don't think everybody heard it right off.
Yeah.
I think they
would
come in.
Of course it is.
Checking in, but I know I really appreciate you calling me because
I know, Mom.
And what made him so special? We were in Hawaii on our 25th anniversary. And we were at the Hawaiian Village, I guess, where Duke Kahanamoku's place was, and the nightclub.
Right.
And it was.
This is very much like being on the phone with her in real life.
Playing all, and they had all the beautiful.
I love her more than anything, but at this point, I mute the TV and start changing channels.
It's been our anniversary,
and that's
the first time I saw him. And
I heard this yesterday.
Oh,
really? Like,
I take it back. I've heard it for 25 years.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
you loved him, and anyway,
he was a wonderful entertainer.
Oh, you know? He was. I was reading. I went online to read more about it because we just had a little teeny paragraph in our paper, and it said that. Well, I knew he flew fighter planes during the Korean War. And
that's right. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
Hey,
and
listen,
Mom,
let me just interrupt you. We're running late on time here. I just want to ask you something.
Okay.
Would you back in the day, if you had been over there with Les and you'd been in Hawaii on holiday, and you'd see Don Ho, and he had come up to you, and he had, like, slipped his room key into your hand?
How do you know he didn't?
Good for you. Good for you, big crater. I love it.
That was in my good old days.
In the good old days.
Well, then I will flat out ask you, did you have relations with Don Ho?
No.
No, the answer is no.
But I think I probably was about one of the few women he didn't have relations with.
Yeah, he was quite the stud, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was, someone told me that he didn't play more in Las Vegas because some of the mobsters didn't like all the attention their girlfriends gave him.
I love that story.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
He's such a super stud.
He won a scholarship to some college in Massachusetts playing football.
Huh.
I mean, he was, and it said...
So he was a big guy.
Huge.
Yeah, he wasn't humongously tall. But
he banged Lindsay Lohan.
That's around.
Hey, listen. Hey, Big Frida. Answer me this.
What do they call him, Don Ho?
What is sadder? The fact that Don Ho has passed away or the fact that Rich Little is still alive?
I don't know.
If you had to pick, and I know that you treasure life, and I mean this just in an entertainment value, but if you had to pick one entertainer to leave us, and it had to be Don Ho or Rich Little, who would you have selected?
Oh, Don Ho.
There you go.
To survive. You would select him to live, right?
Live forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Did Rich Little die?
Good choice.
No, he's still alive. No. He was just on the show.
He died on the show about 10 minutes ago.
For a fashion. We all died when he was on.
No. All right, well, listen, this is for you. You got it for me, Rob? Where's the...
The song? We have it?
Where's the thing? You got it on... Cut 23.
Can you hear that, Big Frida?
No, I hear it. It's beautiful, isn't it?
There you go.
That is so sweet.
Just for
your
mom.
Okay. I love you.
Let's see your other kids call you up and play you there. Your favorite song by your favorite dead singer on the radio.
No, syndicated all across the country.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole nation's hearing this now.
25 cities.
Right.
Well, he was a great entertainer, and he had a really great show.
Tom says he had a three-way with Paris Hilton and Sonny Lane. Well, gosh, I know you love Don Ho, and I just wanted to give you a chance to say on the radio you loved him.
Oh, thank you, honey.
All
I
right,
appreciate
Mom.
It, and thank you for calling me, baby.
All right, I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Okay, our power's back on.
Pardon?
Good news, our power's back on.
This is such a bad connection.
Our power's back on.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what the trouble was. Okay.
Power's back on. Janet wants to know how you like the flowers.
Oh, okay.
Are the flowers okay?
Oh, no. They died. They died.
Like Don Ho.
I guess they went about the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we'll send you more.
All right.
Okay.
That sounds lovely.
Bye.
Or Don Ho.
Bye. Love you.
Love you, baby.
Bye.
Bye bye.
There she goes.
I request more of that. Yeah. I've been dealing with a lot of the roof blowing off today. That was my moment of the day right there. You can call her. I think, you know what? I'm going to start letting you call all the elderly women in my family. Absolutely.
I got away with them, Mike.
My mother, my sister. That's a little Kathy joke.
Don't forget to send her another Donahoe bouquet.
You know, they make cakes now out of flowers.
You can't eat them.
Can't eat them.
You can't eat them because they are made of flowers.
She is truly a very special lady, like sure I said. Is. And she really does have a thing for Donahoe. And
she's got a great sense of humor, too. She takes all your josh into, and I love it when you pit the rest of the family against yourself like that. That's wonderful, you know. See if your real kids will call you. That's a good line. That's a strong line right there. That's coming to the hoop strong.
I waited 18 hours because I gave one of the other siblings a chance to call.
Good for you. Hey, you know what? Tell you what I'll do this weekend.
What's
this
that,
might
Mike?
Cheer her up a little bit since she's down about Don Ho. Yeah. I'll call her like this coming Saturday or Sunday and go, "Hello, Big Frida. This is Rich Little. I just wanted to check in. You might have remembered my work at the Ed Sullivan Theater when I was working with Frank Gorshin, amusing millions. And now, here's my Georgie Jessel impression." Thanks, Big Frida.
I didn't even know that when Rich Little was throwing off a bunch of those names of impressions he did,
right.
Rob told me during the break they heard, "Did you, Mike?" That they're silent film stars.
Silent film stars,
yeah.
Yes.
Like, okay, hello.
He was doing, that was his routine.
He was doing some shit.
I believe that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
That's what I believe I was doing.
Okay, we got to get a break here.
And now the voice of Herbert Hoover.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Dwight, how's it going, man? Yes, I have decided to shun Andy Bernard for the next 3 years, which I'm looking forward to. It's an Amish technique. It's like slapping someone with silence. I was shunned from the age of 4 until my 6th birthday for not saving the excess oil from a tuna. Jim, could you please inform Andy Bernard that he is being shunned?
Andy, Dwight says welcome back, and he could use a hug.
Okay, tell him that's not true.
Dwight says that he actually doesn't know one single fact about bear attacks.
Okay, no, Jim, tell him bears can climb faster than they can run. Jim, tell him!
Andy, that's too far.
Damn you. The Don and Mike Show. Consummate unprofessional. Don and Mike.
Oh, how good is my girlfriend? Listen to this. Even though the power is on at our house now, been off since like 1 a.m. last night. I was the optimist saying that by the time I got home tonight, the power would be back on. As it turned out, power was on by the time the show started today. Do you know that she, though, because she wants to make sure that nothing else goes wrong, went out today, she told me she bought 6 oil lamps. Like in
the ye olde times?
Like in ye olde bonanza times.
Little house.
And I said to her, "What do you mean?" And she said, "You know, I bought oil lamps and oil, and you'll love it, because it's got a handle on it.
You can put your kerchief on and go to sleep.
You bring it from room to room.
Then you can wear your night shirt, your giant night shirt that goes all the way halfway down your calves.
Ye old.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how I described it to her as well.
Ye old, olden times.
Ye old oil.
Hey, and I heard you say that thing about Rome. You can't put Rome in the same category as the Tudors. The Tudors, very boring. Warm, Rome, very, very,
all
very exciting. You'd
they,
like Rome if
they,
you want.
They are both shows on pay channels.
What about ye olden times?
HBO and Showtime. And they both look like they're wearing gladiator-type outfits.
Well, you had the medieval times,
right.
Then you had the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had a lot of steamy, hot sex scenes. The difference between... And I think they really did try to be authentic. The problem with the Tudors, which is the medieval times, is you get guys like the guy that was in Jurassic Park. They look exactly like they got to the set, they got out of their business suits, and they put the medieval costumes on, including one guy that's got the perfect, 2007 sideburns on, and he's supposed to be this medieval, and they didn't wash the same way. You know, they were all gross and grody.
That is my same theory about, remember about Happy Days?
Yes. Yeah.
Towards the end of Happy Days.
When Fonzie started doing it.
When they all started having 1970s haircuts.
It was wrong. They should stick to it. They should commit to the role.
When did you turn on the Tudors? You were hot for Tudors last
week. Well, I thought the promos looked good, but it's too many male models, and it's too much...
How can that be?
The main reason is it looks like guys, seriously, that showed up, you know, like have other jobs. It's like a bunch of stockbrokers in medieval costumes.
Which guy from Jurassic Park is in it?
Yes, Sam Neill.
Oh.
Sam Neill plays the bishop, and Sam Neill...
The bishop!
And all he does is, like, give dirty looks, and looks seriously like he's... Yeah. It's the wrong hairdo. The thing about Rome, they make him look really smelly. And that's what I like to see in my period pieces.
Nudity?
A little bit of nudity in the Tudors, a lot in Rome.
Uh-huh. Here's the thing about both of those shows.
Yes.
Generally speaking, when they're on,
mm-hmm.
there's always a Law and Order on.
And I've never gotten into Law and Order.
And I am like a rat on crack.
Right.
If I go past one of those channels and I hear that gong-gong, even if it's the bad one...
Aren't there like 12 of them on
even
now?
If it's the one with Private Pyle that I don't really like...
Right. There's always a Law and Order.
I still watch it. It's always on. Mm-hmm. But there's always a mini marathon.
Yeah, well, I think I've watched Law and Order, and I don't feel the same way you do about my period pieces. I actually enjoy, you know, when I watch Law and Order occasionally, I enjoy it, but, you know, I'm very disappointed because I was going to get into
I don't
the...
think there's any place on television, even on cable TV, for menstruation.
It's a wonderful period piece. Rome was great, and I miss my Rome. I really do. Yeah. I like the obscure cable miniseries. I really do, and I hate it when they get canceled, and they all get canceled.
Don't you like The L Word?
Don't watch that one.
What about Bud's favorite, Weeds?
I hate Weeds.
I
don't get.
And the one that I wish would come back,
yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Will you stop with the commercials and just put on the friggin' show?
Mm-hmm.
Please, because I'm realizing now we're running out of time with The Sopranos. Another great one last night. Not that I'm counting. Only 7 left.
Right.
Right. And boy... did that show again last night. Move, move, move. Mm-hmm.
And even it's one that I consider they're setting things up.
Yeah.
They're setting things up for a lot of big fireworks. I would assume next week you're going
to
get a lot of stuff going on. I really think so.
Sure.
Didn't you say Christopher was going to get it this week?
Yeah, well, and I wrote it down like it was a big secret. Greg Garcia, who's the only guy that Mike and I know who has anything to do with television at all, told my son, mm-hmm. when my son was out in California a couple of weeks ago, that Syl was going to be involved in a shooting in the second episode.
Okay.
Turns out he was right.
Right.
Because Syl wasn't killed, but he was. And said, Christopher definitely gets it in the first 4.
Definitely setting the table for it. Yeah, I mean, last night where they were, you know, that was the big setup.
And
how about
at first they're watching the movie, when they're at the screening of the movie Cleaver. Tony's loving it because the guy's got the robe on.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as he starts getting it onto the guma.
Yeah.
Roe turns around and gives Carm that look.
Right. And that's the only time that Carm picks up on it. And I love it when they just show all the characters in the audience, all the mafia characters.
Eating popcorn.
All getting ready to see the big show.
Paulie Walnuts, who does not shut off his cell phone.
That's right, after he's told to.
And doesn't Paulie Walnuts love throwing this thing out? I had cancer. I beat cancer. Uh-huh.
There was great Paulie last night when the writer for Cleaver shows up at Bada Bing and Paulie Walnuts and says, I didn't think I was confused. You know, Paulie's just
Tim
looking
Daly,
at,
yes.
just sitting there like he's going to kill him and the whole time. I loved it.
What's great about The Sopranos as well, and I'm sure that you'll agree, is that for even the dumbest of little brains out there, you can follow the plot. That they make it so that Carm says to Tony, my handsome man. Didn't you see the movie? He wants to kill you. Wants to put a hatchet in your head. So then, Christopher sends the guy over to tell Tony that he wrote it. Christopher did.
After he's been a hit. Right.
And at the very end is Christopher's baby being christened, Tony hugging him. And if you're reading their minds,
they want to kill each other.
The hug is, oh my God, he knows I hate him and he wants to kill me.
Right.
And Tony's hug is, oh, my God, this kid who I love hates me. He wants to kill me? F me. F him. I want to kill him.
Right. You get a lot of potential killing coming up because Phil Leotardo, and now I just like saying that name, Phil Leotardo at the bar is sitting there going, okay, all bets are off. And I'm going to kill everybody.
Right. And how about when they were saying his name was Leotardo,
And everybody was assuming that it was a goof like about leotards, and I was thinking retard.
I know. Weren't you thinking retard as
yes,
well?
Yes, absolutely. And that, I don't think that was lost on the writers of that episode.
No.
And they really set the table for a lot of stuff to happen. I mean, last night's episode was the real table setter. Yep. This thing could go in 20 different directions, yep, and you have no idea who's going to get it.
Hey,
first.
Here's a question for you. Why is AJ's girlfriend on the rag?
And what's wrong with AJ? AJ does not look well.
Really?
To me. He truly doesn't look good.
You always say that when someone loses weight.
He doesn't look well at all. Huh. I have no idea. I don't even think they need that in there. Why is his girlfriend's getting all bitchy? But she was bitchy at the movie premiere party. She was bitchy at the Sopranos house for dinner.
Junior, yeah. Eat your noodles.
That's when you don't do that.
Eat your noodles.
And they don't like her. They don't like her at all.
She'll be going somewhere.
So that adds her to the mix, too.
Yep.
Something's going to happen to her.
Right, because Tony's got a little Don Imus in him. I've seen the show.
Yeah.
I know what's going on.
Yeah, I think we'll have some answers next week.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And Johnny Sack, we hardly knew you.
Yeah.
That is what has always made The Sopranos so great, is that you can turn it on, and a guy who's really not been on for 6, 7, 8, 9 episodes, not only is he the star of the episode, but you find out he's really, really about ready to check out.
Right.
Then they build your hopes up to make you think that maybe he's gotten a false diagnosis.
Right.
By the end of the episode, he's teats up. He's dead.
He is completely gone. He's out of there. And if we ever got David Chase on the show, I would love to ask him where he gets the ideas for the names. Because there has to be something there. There has to be a process there when you're talking about Johnny Sacrimony and Soprano and Leotardo.
Right.
I'd really like to find out where he gets these names. Because it's really, sometimes, the Sopranos for me, you can just sit there and laugh at it.
Yeah.
Last night to me was one of their comedy episodes. I was laughing throughout the entire Sopranos episode.
Mm-hmm. There are some things that they do that are almost cliche, like the picture of Phil's dead brother.
Yeah.
That's hanging over the bar.
Right.
In any other piece of film or TV, you might look at that and go, oh, you know, that is like grade film school type stuff that they're trying to show
movie
us.
Stuff.
Yeah, but they pull it off in a way.
They do.
Where it becomes really artful.
And the guy that plays, I don't know the name of the actor that plays Phil, but he is, you know, he's a veteran of so many of the great movies, you know, of Casino and Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yeah.
And he just conveys the danger. Like Paulie Walnuts, the guys that, and I think if you look at his history, the actor, they're a little...
He's got a little of it, too,
They're a little connected, you know, and they're the guys that really convey the danger. But Paulie Walnuts, even though, if I was in a room with Paulie Walnuts, the guy would make me nervous. But when you see him on camera, it just makes me laugh, because he is such the stereotypical gangster.
And the other thing that Jan said to me last night, we were watching this, she said, you know, I said, Christopher is so dead. She said, oh, no. Here's her theory on it.
Yeah.
She thinks that somehow they're going to find out about Adriana, that they're going to find out what really happened about Adriana, and that's why Tony is not going to kill Christopher.
Well, who would find out about it, though?
She thinks that someone like Carmella is going to find out about it.
Because, Christopher obviously knows.
And find out that Adriana was being a snitch, and that she had to be killed, and that she really, she had to go. Because Janet said, don't you think that there's a part of Carmella that understands... Because it's weird that we're talking about these people like they're weird, like they're real people.
They are.
They're
about to go away.
Isn't there a part of her that understands that that's how the business really works?
Sure.
And that right now, she thinks maybe Christopher did something awful to her, but oh my God, what if she knew what Adriana was doing?
Yeah. You know, they're great. Every time you're talking about it, I think of another scene. The scene between Christopher and Carmella is so great. Where it's like, you know, you're my cousin, I love you, but you've offended me. You know,
I got to go out and have a smoke.
Yeah, that's just so real.
And how about that Fed?
Oh, yeah.
That Fed who's kind of friends with Tony.
And they're doing the counterterrorism.
He pulls up and he's like, hey, if you ever hear anything, you're going to give us a call.
Your daughter takes the subway, doesn't she, to go in and, you know.
Yeah.
It's just
I'm not picking the paper up anymore.
Too good.
I can't do that anymore.
Excellent.
Too dangerous. I'm not paying for that.
Only 7 left.
Wow. Yeah. Then it's all gone.
Only 7 left. But George Lopez has like a 5,000 series deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And that show is going to be on. And that show should be on in low def. But George Lopez, for whatever reason, is on in super high def.
So when we're out of Sopranos episodes, we're also going to be out of King of Queens episodes.
No.
Right.
Jesus. It's just not fair.
It isn't.
I laughed.
I hear someone gets killed in the King of Queens.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I laughed so hard yesterday at Jan that coffee came out of my nose.
Oh, no.
We were sitting at the breakfast table, and she was looking at the Circuit City ads, and she said, oh, my gosh, you are going to want to get this on Tuesday. Like it was something serious. And I turned and I said, what? I've got all the video games. I wanted the movies. And she said, look, King of Queens, season 8. And right as she said season 8, it was
season 8. And I understand their writing is just delicious.
Down my throat, then up my nose, wow, and out all over the table.
Well, now we know what to get you for Christmas.
Right.
Season 8.
Season 8, yeah.
Season 8.
They've had 8 seasons.
Wow. Why not just give me a box with 5 blank discs on it?
More useful.
Seriously.
Well, I just think it's enough seasons to keep Vivian's in business.
We got a break. Let's take a couple of calls about The Sopranos. I bet that's why everyone's calling.
Probably.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, quick question. I don't know if you noticed at the end of the show before they gave the previews, but they got this HBO First Look crap about the Cleavers. Are they just punning on themselves?
And I think it looks like it is going to be fracturingly funny.
Yeah.
You don't like to watch The Coming Attractions.
I did not see it.
It's a promo. This is going to ruin it for you. And I think it happens this week, right? It's in addition to The Sopranos. They've got a first look, an HBO first look at the making of Cleaver.
Oh.
And they've got all the producers and they've got...
That's funny.
It is brilliant.
That's great.
And it looks like, you know, they got Daniel Baldwin in the thing. It really looks like it's going to be hysterical.
Oh, you know who else
Christopher?
I like the slicky boy that's making that whole movie happen. The guy that's...
And he's like the other Don, isn't
right,
he?
Right. The guy that stood up at the theater and then wouldn't let the Chinese guy speak.
And they make him great because he's just slightly more evolved than Tony,
right,
isn't he? When
yes,
he's at the country club and stuff like that.
And wasn't his dad one of the captains before?
His dad was a captain in New York.
Yeah, and there's a little something going on with him, too.
You never know. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, you actually just touched on what I was calling you about. How great was it at the premiere of Cleaver where they get up and they give their speeches, and then the Oriental director comes up with a prepared speech.
The Oriental director.
They just pull the microphone.
Yeah, they just pull the microphone away and just start right, the movie. Right.
And then the other thing, what's up with AJ? He looks like he has rickets.
Okay, everybody's jumping on AJ right now. Right, right, we are going to hit a break. We're going to give Buzz an extra segment today because of the developments at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and let me say seriously that our thoughts are seriously with everybody dealing with that crap today, and it's just horrible, and I know, Buzz, you're going to have some pretty heavy stuff coming up.
We'll come back, and we'll get into that. I feel that we did our good funny work today, well, with the help of Rich Little. We'll be right back. I thank you, sir. Well, think about the poor schmucks going to the correspondence dinner this year.
Aren't they going to have a good time?
You know,
I'm going to be highly entertaining.
This is probably the year that you and I finally get our invitations to that thing.
And we'll turn them down because we don't like the stage show.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Right. Okay, it's coming up next.
Buzz Burbank coming up with the news. Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like a life-altering herpetic sore. The Don and Mike Show.
Ow, ow, ow. Let me see, just I had a buzz I didn't want to mention. Tom Joyner is the DJ that we're talking to about doing a simulcast with.
Good.
We've got to run that up the CBS flagpole.
Very good.
Because what we hear now is that he would like us to be on his show.
Okay. All right.
The white man going on the black man show.
Okay.
We can deal with that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tom Joyner, for taking us up on that. We're going to see if that can work out. We didn't have time to talk about IMUS today. I'll save this for tomorrow. This whole thing with Russell Simmons about why rappers can say ho and other stuff.
You've been reading a lot of that, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. Then that leads to the other thing I pulled out, never got to today. Again, on the topic of race.
Right.
If you go to MySpace and you go to Kirk Douglas's page,
right,
he apologizes for slavery.
Well, it's about time. What does he say?
We're looking for it right now.
Didn't know Kirk Douglas had slaves.
Son, you're 90. And that's an old man. Carson has a woman who kept writing letters
Right. I didn't understand that.
He says, let's apologize for our mistakes. First, we need an apology for slavery. Recently, Jews celebrated Passover. This commemorates the time we were slaves in Egypt. A much shorter time ago, human beings were wrenched from their families, put into the hold of ship, carried off to faraway countries to become slaves. The apology is for me, Kirk Douglas.
Well, he has the right to apologize for whatever he wants to apologize for.
And a lot of blogging.
And, mm-hmm. and there was one other thing, just ahead of Buzz. Have you heard the Britney Spears tape?
I haven't, no. There's a new one?
She's running around Friday night, and she's allegedly dating, is it Luke Walton? Is that Bill Walton's kid?
They determined that it's her cousin that is with the Walton.
Okay.
Bill Walton's cousin?
Bill Walton's kid plays for the Lakers.
What's my kid doing with her?
It was alleged he was dating Britney Spears. It's his friend.
It's my son?
So she's going around L.A. on Friday night at a Lakers game, and here's what she had to say.
I just really, want to talk and just say, how nice our world is. It is so nice. I'm going to cry right now because, our world is so nice. No, it really is because, oh my God, the other day I saw, this magazine and I looked at it and it said, I was pregnant and, I went up to my mom and I was oh my God, my mom knew. She was right. Always believe everything you read, everybody. Because I am. I really am pregnant. And then, I went to, this person, and they saw it, on the USA Today, that, I was drinking a lot.
It goes on and on and on.
It was so true. And then, it was just so weird, because, then after that, everybody, just always believe what you read. Because, in all my management, they totally knew what they were doing when they sent me to rehab. Totally. They totally knew what they were doing.
What?
It's just so weird how great our world is. And, after this, somebody's going to talk about this. Because our world is so nice. So that's all I wanted to say.
So she's doing her Valley Girl thing.
I like rape.
Trying to be funny.
Glad she's all better now.
I'm not sure what she's going for there.
So she asked some camera guy to stop so that she could give a message to her fans.
She had something.
Wow.
It was the Laker game. Oh, and now with other news of the day, here's our friend Charles Burbank.
Hi,
Charlie.
Hi. Virginia Tech, 33 people are dead, including the gunman. Over 29 people are hurt, some from gunfire, some from broken glass endured during their escape from the gunman. It started at 7:15 this morning when a young Asian man armed with two 9mm handguns and wearing belt clips across his chest entered the Ambler Johnston dorm looking for his girlfriend. He killed two people and got away. Students were notified, mostly by email. It was difficult to reach them any other way as most of them were in transit from their dorms to classrooms at that hour. But 2 hours after the first shooting, there was a second shooting at the engineering building, Norris Hall. This time, the shooter chained shut the main doors. He'd apparently brought the chains with him so that no one could either leave or enter that engineering building. Then he went class by class, room by room, shooting everyone inside each room one by one. As I mentioned earlier, some of those who survived did so by playing dead. The gunman eventually turned the gun on himself. We now know that he was killed by his own bullet and not by one from the police. He's one of the 33 dead in the worst campus shooting in American history, second worst school shooting ever in the world. The gunman carried no identification, so we don't have a name for him yet, and certainly not a motive. Tomorrow's classes are canceled. Virginia flags around the state are at half-mast this evening. State and national leaders join in the morning. A rival school, University of Virginia in Charlottesville, has offered any help it can, including grief counseling. A state of emergency has been declared by the governor to make sure that every state resource is available to Virginia Tech.
And now, that's
what we know right now.
Let's see this get the amount of coverage that the Imus story got.
It'll get a lot.
And, no, let's see it with the teeth that the Imus story got, because really this is going to be a weird one for America, because we're not talking about race.
Right.
We're talking about something that people care about a hell of a lot more in this country than race.
It is their right to own guns.
Yeah.
The debate will rage on about that.
And that is where we're going to be stuck now. Jesus Christ.
You know, what I think about when I hear this is just to imagine what can possibly go so wrong with an individual
with an individual's mind that they want to take
now,
out
now really,
30 people. I mean, hold on. They want to do this. I don't get it.
I just had a thought. Excuse me. I want to see the outrage that I saw with the I Miss Fang. Let me give you an example. When I would see or hear or talk to people in real life, a lot of people say this to me. Hey, the reason he pissed me off was that could have been my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
If that was my daughter that he had said that about, I would have punched his lights out.
You know why you're not going to see the outrage? Because you don't have a living villain.
No.
You know?
Well, I know you don't. Just hear me out for a second.
Okay.
If people through osmosis felt this way about Imus, if they thought, oh my God, he could have been talking about my daughter. I hate him. I hate racism, whatever it is. How many people who have kids in college, are going to say, oh my God, that could have been my kid. And while you can't fire this guy like you fired Imus, I want to see the same level of discourse now and discussion about guns and about violence. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly. And you've got a kid in college right now.
A lot of people stood up last week and said, hey, I totally understand because I got a daughter. That could have been my daughter. I say to all of you people who have kids in college, as I did today when I heard it, what if that was my kid? And unlike the Imus thing, I do feel strongly about this. And I am anti-gun. Mm-hmm. And what do you want to say?
I was just wondering, do you think anyone will draw a parallel, because they're basically constitutional issues, both of them. One, freedom of speech, and one, the freedom to bear arms.
Right. Oh, you know, this debate has been raging on
forever.
Yeah. Forever. And, I know how you felt. You felt race. So strong. I remember you, when you were raising Bart when he was a little kid, that you felt so strongly about guns, you didn't let him, you never gave him toy guns.
Yeah. No.
I remember that.
I didn't mean to bite your head off there, Rob. I didn't know if you were going to try to say something funny and try to be goofy.
No, I didn't.
Really, for everybody that felt empathy for the Rutgers basketball team,
right.
How about some people now, regardless of your skin color, feeling empathy for these 30-plus students that were killed?
And maybe getting the debate about firearms, is that what you're pointing it towards?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you that in this country, you know,
that won't go anywhere.
It's not going to go anywhere, because on both sides of the aisle, you've got, I mean, this incredible strength in the gun lobby in this country.
Screwed. We'll ban speech before we ban guns.
Yeah.
But there's another issue that I want to see addressed, and you were talking about it, I think, before the show today. And I'm not going to point fingers. Everybody's in a state of shock on that campus right now. But I am extremely curious as to why there was an initial shooting, and then 2 hours later, this went down. I'm still curious about
that. It's possible. The police say that it's possible. It doesn't seem likely, but police say it's possible that those two incidents are not related. We don't know that.
Okay, so nobody knows that.
We don't know
yet.
For a fact yet whether they are.
But even with that said, Buzz,
right,
even if it was an isolated, you still shut down that campus. You lock down that campus. And you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me that they had it, a shooting on campus.
A lot of people.
As soon as that happens, I don't understand why you wouldn't have a complete, you know, police presence all over that campus, and you would shut down, you know, get out of your dorms. I mean, get out of, you know, just go to a safe place, a secure place where you're guarded, where things, I just don't understand. Obviously, I mean, it's great to you know,
second
hindsight
guess,
and do this, but I'm just, you know, but, you know, Don, I know you hate guns. You've always hated guns, but both sides of the aisle, I mean, you get people that are making the laws in this country that on both sides totally sell out to the gun lobby and always have in this country. And you know what? The vast majority of Americans, unlike Iraq, I would say you probably get a lot of Americans in this country that would say, well, it's really not the guns. And then that's what they would say. Although it's probably, you could trace this guy back to, he had some guns that were, you know, not designed for hunting or anything like that.
Apparently,
so. I would much rather have people hurting each other with words than with guns. Yeah. I mean, when are we going to figure that out? You know, words hurt, guns kill.
Very good.
Seriously.
Well said. And all of these tragedies that we hear about, whether it be Columbine, whether it be, you know, a random shooting somewhere in the United States, it's usually pretty easy. If you want to get yourself a firearm in this country, you can roll in and get one. And get one that's more lethal than, you know, something you're going to go out and shoot squirrels with.
So now I guess the debate will be, which is really more of a problem right now for America? The fact that we have rap lyrics that say, nappy-headed hoes and bitches, or the fact that we got a guy who just went and shot up an entire school?
shooting, you know, 60 people.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which is more important for a national dialogue, do you think?
Mm.
Yeah. In this country, it is the greatest country. It's also the suckiest country.
We have our issues.
You know what I mean?
You know, I think we have our issues as far as murders by handgun and by guns in this country. I mean, we're ahead of the world. We've been ahead of the world forever.
I hesitate to say I'm pissing off an awful lot of our listeners who are big NRA types. Hey, screw you guys, man. I've never bought into that. And I do believe people kill, not guns. Don't say guns don't kill people. People kill. This guy.
Well, what you're trying to say is guns kill.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I'm not saying nothing.
I get wound up about it. I'm sorry. I do piss a lot of people off. Well, screw you. You want to have a gun? Why don't we have a place where you can have guns and you can use the N-word and you can do anything you want?
We do. It's called Texas. When we come back, we will talk about happier things, or at least things less unpleasant.
Any developments on
anything new that breaks, I'll be sure and pass it along. Absolutely.
They still don't know if it's a separate incident that happened earlier.
No, they don't. The first incident appears to be domestic, having to do with a girlfriend. But again, there's so much we don't know yet. It was so chaotic when this happened, and in the aftermath of that, it's difficult to, as I said before, get eyewitnesses who either aren't dead in the hospital, in grief counseling, or being interviewed by the police.
Here is the absolute bottom line, my dumb guy feeling on this. You will have a line of people 20 miles long saying what Ima said was awful and that we got to do something about this. But you have over 30 people really killed, and you will not have a line a block long with people saying, what the freak is wrong with it being so easy to get a gun in America?
You're absolutely right.
Please, someone answer me that one.
You're absolutely right about that, because we've had that happen again and again and again and again.
It will be debated, I'm sure.
Well, anyway.
Not as much, Buzz.
I know. You're right.
Good
point.
And not with as much passion.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
Oh, I mean, is there anything that we love in this country more than our guns? I mean, the people that love them really love them. They really, really do. And it'll come out no matter what. I mean, you'll find out how this guy acquired his weapons, how he got them, how it all happened, and then it'll fade away, like all the other times.
Usually does.
But then we can go back to worrying about Imus.
Oh, you know it's going to be attacked, though, you know, much like Columbine. Because, you know, it's not just guns that are going to get attacked. You're going to find the debate shift to, you know, what might have motivated this guy. What was he reading? What was he listening to? What was he watching on television?
Right.
All that gets into play, too. Not what was in his hands that pulled the trigger, because that's what they do.
Gotcha. Those people, Mike.
Those people.
That's what they do.
I drive by them every night.
Those people.
Yeah. They're a big building.
They do have a nice building.
Oh, those people.
Oh, yeah.
Those people.
The building with the three letters on top.
NRA.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not blaming the NRA. No, not really.
Incredible!
Not wise.
He's a member. Yeah. What's next, Buzz?
Like I said, something happier. Actually, a spring break for Congress when we return.
Okay.
Oh, there. I'm happy now.
Yippee.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show. The mayors of Boner City, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Right. He's a jackass.
Dumbass.
So you had sex with Joe?
No, I slept with Joe. He came over last night. He's going to sleep on the couch, but then I invited him to my room to watch Men Don't Weep.
Well, congratulations. You've now been with your cousin, new Christine's father, and your ex-husband's brother. You're almost ready to start dating outside the family.
Hi,
Rena. Lady. So close to the internet. Hi there, Buzz. How are you?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
The bill for the congressional spring break is really big this year. It's not cheap flying 13 congressional delegations to places including Trinidad and the Caribbean. It cost over $10,000 per flying hour, in fact, when the U.S. Air Force does it at taxpayer expense. Congressman Benny Thompson of Mississippi took his wife, 9 other Democrats, and a couple of Republicans on a tour of the Caribbean with stops in Mexico, Honduras, and the Virgin Islands, where they all enjoyed the amenities of the lovely 5-star Caneel Bay Resort. Congressman Elliot Engel of New York went to Grenada and Trinidad instead, along with his wife and 4 Democrats. His token Republican couldn't make the trip. You see, The rules governing...
Did you say token?
I did.
This is Robert the Mailman.
Different kind of token here. Republicans and Democrats, in this case, the rules governing congressional travel say both parties have to be represented on each trip. So a Democratic member chooses a Republican he wouldn't mind sharing a hot tub with. Congressman Engel violated that rule, but says it was
because
his token Republican had to cancel due to a family emergency.
Violation.
He got Nancy Pelosi to waive the rule in his case.
She's hot as balls, though.
See, I know, you don't have to tell me.
She really is.
The rules also say the trip has to have some connection to a
fish. Donkey balls.
You know. Thompson says his...
You know.
Thompson says his group was studying homeland security, borders and ports, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day with no downtime in the Caribbean. Engel says his group studied disaster relief and energy policy. Attacking Republican junkets was one way Democrats were able to take over Congress.
Hey, you know who's pretty smart?
Who is that?
Is our company.
What
is CBS.
What now?
This is pretty smart.
What are they doing now?
They've got them in the thing. I just got an email from a buddy of mine who said, have you looked at Westwood One's site?
No.
That's our syndication company.
Mm-hmm.
Also owned by CBS.
Our syndicate.
Let me see. Talk programming from Westwood One.
Mm-hmm. Syndicate.
Well, there it is right there. Hot Talk. Don and Mike, Tom Likas, Loveline, Morning Talk, America in the Morning, Adam Carolla, Ibis in the Morning.
Way to be on it.
And I won't bore you with it now, but if you go to the part where it has audio highlights, they still have audio highlights from his show last week.
Oh, no.
Wow. Up on the website.
Fleet-footed, that's what they are.
Goddamn.
So hard to let go.
Almost makes me want to rethink my position about guns. When I see how stupid
that was quick.
When I see how stupid this radio company is.
Right. You've got some business to take care of first.
Anyway, nobody uses the internet. Don't worry about that.
And on that.
And on that.
And on that.
Well, millions of us, meanwhile, are watching our tax refunds shrink.
I'm laughing.
You found something?
No. I'm still laughing.
Still laughing at the IMAX highlight.
No, I'm going around this Westwood One site trying to get out of this thing. And you would think that they would do everything they possibly could.
Right.
Take him off the website. He pops up every single page.
They had him. Do you know, they don't have time to do that. Do you know how much responsibility it is to get those new porn links every day?
You know.
So millions of folks are watching their tax refunds shrink because millions of us are getting slammed this year by something called the alternative minimum tax. Accountants say next year will be even worse.
3, 4, 1, 2. Okay.
Tax man.
Whoa, I'm the tax man.
So the bottom line is refunds are smaller this year and may vanish entirely for many people next year.
Are they now?
The alternative, yes, Rich. The alternative minimum tax was originally aimed at forcing the well-off to pay their fair share of taxes. The idea was to make everybody pay a minimum regardless of deductions. But now this AMT is cutting into the middle class.
AMF.
Some lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are now trying to eliminate the AMT.
Thank you, sir.
Make sure yours is one of them if you want to keep getting refunds. Most folks say they use theirs to pay off existing debts. We're going to miss seeing TV reporters standing in front of the post office. No DJs handing out coffee and Excedrin. Because as of this year, most Americans now file online.
Buzz, I disagree. They will still be out there tomorrow night doing that shtick on the 11 o'clock news.
But they're crumbling like dinosaurs because more and more people, in fact, now a majority of us, are using the Internet to file with the IRS.
But the good news is it's still cold in April, and so Megan McGrath might be wearing one of her hats.
one of her
hot, hairy hats.
The hottest balls hat.
Have that to look forward to. The deadline, of course, is tomorrow night at midnight, and the survey shows most Americans don't know that.
Oh, hell yes.
We know that, Buzz. Everybody happy?
Is everybody happy?
In a survey, only 1 in 5 of us knew that the tax deadline had been extended this year.
You know, I just read online as well. Sorry, I was reading while we were taking breaks.
There you go, reading again.
Do you know that what they've decided to do in the short term on WFAN in New York?
What?
Since they got rid of Imus?
Mike and the Mad Dog for doing both the morning show and the afternoon show?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Again.
And I watch those guys on TV. I think that's... I don't think that they're going to burn out.
How CBS is that? Okay, in essence, what they did was they fired Imus. Well, not in essence, they did fire him.
Yes.
And because they don't know what to do now, mm-hmm. they said to the afternoon guys, guess what? Until further notice, you're doing both mornings and afternoons.
Right.
Every day.
Yeah. But you know why they did that?
Because they're dumbasses?
No. Why the DJs did that?
Why? Because they're dumbasses?
No, because all the breadsticks they want.
Your family. Florida taxpayers are not laughing in the district of Republican State Representative Don Brown.
And the shifts are 6 to 10.
Yeah.
And then 1 to 6.
Ouch.
6 to 10 and 1 to 6.
That's a...
they get lunch.
A big lunch.
I bet that last hour of the afternoon show is really jam-packed.
How do you think those seats are going to smell?
But, you know, after 6 o'clock, they got the rest of the day off.
Imagine that studio. How about you walk into that studio at 3:10?
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me, no matter what the management of this stupid company is. It's like when they fired Opie and Anthony the first time. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what they did? They put Ron and Fez on,
mm-hmm.
like, for 5 different shifts.
Yeah, they were on all the time.
The
yeah.
best thing is, remember, their lunchtime show was 1 hour, and that was it. They had to come in and do 1 hour and then go home and twiddle their thumbs.
I remember seeing them walk into the building at the end of our show.
Yeah, they were always so happy.
Always fun.
Ron now, Bennington arriving at 7:04.
Now Mike and the Mad Dog have that same great feeling
mm-hmm.
of doing 2 separate shifts in one day.
Dedicated professionals, Don, the things we do for showbiz.
The Russian news media certainly has an interesting take on the Imus thing. That they say that he was fired for knowing too much about 9/11. The Russian news agency.
They're not the enemy anymore.
Pravda. Remember Pravda? They're reporting that U.S. war leaders, to use their term, are trying to rein in American media personalities.
I'm sorry I did that.
There he is.
I'm embarrassed that I did that.
Why?
I did a bad thing.
Pravda says the war leaders took out Imus because he was politically connected and because he had threatened to release information about the 9/11 attacks.
We're going to Moscow, Bernard. We're doing the show from the Iron Curtain. Oh, it's not there anymore? I'm sorry, that's my iron lung.
Pravda says the war leader saw the racial slur as an excuse to attack and disgrace Imus.
Right.
Pravda says this is so serious that Rosie O'Donnell actually worried Imus might be imprisoned for his remark. That's what's on the front page of Pravda today.
She was worried.
Pravda. That news from U.S. Back to you, Natasha. The teenage years when hormones are raging. Say, how's that $100 million abstinence program working? We'll check in when we return.
What about the vagina?
Exactly.
I didn't like it.
Okay, well, sign it.
Tango!
Okay. Shut up.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's the word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show.
What happened to that thing, baby? Yeah, that is a workout. That disc gets a workout every day.
Rob, I love it when you clean the discs. And I get to see that tummy.
No. Put that thing away.
Wow.
Did he rub the disc on his belly?
He took his shirt. He pulls his shirt up over his stomach. Show him how you clean the disc, Rob. Watch this. This is the move that I saw underneath your monitor.
Okay. All right, I see. He, you're right. He lifts up his shirt, showing his beautiful belly. His beautiful Borat belly.
That is prodigious.
I'll be on the boardwalk.
That is prodigious. And now here's the thing we're waiting for. Now you've wiped your stomach goo on it.
Too much shirt on.
It is the sacred day. The day for Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Now, Buzz was just telling me in the hallway that I would have an absolute conniption fit about the logos our local affiliates are already coming up with for the Virginia Tech shooting. Buzz.
Our CBS affiliate, Channel 9, the most tasteful, with a graphic that has the Virginia Tech logo and says a campus murders. Channel 7, our ABC affiliate here in Washington, comes in second. They're on the cusp of tastelessness with their headline being campus shootings. But they've added to that the crosshairs of a gun sight as part of the logo. The winner, of course, as always, Fox News here in Chicago, Channel 5, with the
in
full,
DC.
With full animation now, an animated title for their newscast that's called Campus Massacre. And they, too, use the crosshairs from a gun, which I don't believe a 9mm even has.
When you say it's animated, do you mean that the words fly across the screen?
The death toll comes up in the big sort of, you know, fake typed font, like from an old-fashioned typewriter, all that kind of stuff. It's a complete animation.
Well, yeah, but because they have been running out of creative ways to say IMS is fire. They had the picture of IMS and the dueling radio towers and the word fired, like stamped on.
The graphics department never sleeps.
And you know, I know it's not even a related story, but it's the same. We're back again. I'm just pissed off. I'm just pissed.
Understandable.
I'm just pissed when you think about this.
You will be again before this is over, I'm sure.
Probably.
On a more positive media note, the internet has proven to be an invaluable tool in general, and MySpace in particular, allowing students and parents and faculty to communicate with each other throughout all of this today. Let's go ahead and wrap this up, I guess, here. The story I promised first. A new congressional study shows that the Bush administration's abstinence-only educational program has had absolutely no effect. The program favored teaching no sex over teaching safe sex. This new study from Congress shows that teens who've heard the abstinence-only routine start having sex at exactly the same age as teens who were taught about STDs and birth control instead.
Hey, you know something?
What's that?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Right.
There's the tape they listened to.
And finally, around the world with sex news. In Spain, the only way a man could beat rape charges was by proving he doesn't measure up.
I like rape.
Well under 5 inches, even at his finest hour. They measured him...
Did you say under 5 inches?
Under 5 inches.
Joe.
At his finest hour.
Joe, how are you doing, Joe? Hi, Joe.
Joe.
Joe, how are you doing, Joe?
So you're saying this is about Joe. They measured...
That's right, Spanish Joe.
Measured the guy in court and then...
Oh, hell yeah.
In Carlisle, Pennsylvania, a man has beaten child abuse charges even though he was caught with video of young teenage girls changing clothes in a room of his house. How did he beat these charges? Well, he says he set up the camera to photograph ghosts or people doing wacky things, not 14-year-olds changing clothes.
It reminds me, yesterday I was watching...
Cops?
No. I know. Dallas, San Antonio. Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they were talking about Dirk Nowitzki from Dallas. That he beats him off with a stick.
They use that still, don't they?
Yeah. It's time to retire.
Here we are being overregulated, and they say that in sports telecasts and radio casts all the time.
How about fall off? How do you do that?
You say something like that today, that's a boner.
Mm-hmm.
A San Francisco woman's been arrested for assaulting a couple of gay men with produce. They say the men were pelted with anti-gay slurs.
Gay.
Apples and asparagus. And in London... A woman accused of...
Now make your pee stink.
In London, a woman accused of stealing...
So will being gay.
A woman accused of stealing shoes tried...
Shock chuckery.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
Woman... Words don't kill people. Bad words do.
That's right. Never forget it. In London, a woman accused of stealing shoes tried to get away from police by spraying them with breast milk.
Ooh. Hey, now you're listening, aren't you?
Daddy turned on now.
She reportedly used the one on the right. I'm Buzz Burbank,
running backwards
on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No!
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody, with a new episode. Check out our website, donandmikewebsite.com. It's open, I think today is open 18 hours.
They expanded the hours finally?
Yeah.
Is that for the clearance sale?
We gotta go. We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 Ed.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Who's there?
Matt.
Matt who?
Matt Damien.
That's a good joke.
This is the Don and Mike Show.